Hello, this is Mike Myers from the Geek Brunch Podcast, and I'm here to plug a Kickstarter from former Brunch Buddy Andre Salazar. The product is called Pariah, Missouri. It's a Western set right before the Civil War with a supernatural twist. Think of it as Deadwood meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you enjoy settings that are heavily researched with complex characters, this is for you. Yeah, I like to think of it maybe as if you're a fan of some of the Vertigo Jonah Hex, which was a Western with a macabre supernatural twist, you might like this. There's also other books that are in that genre that you might enjoy. This really appealed to me because I really like Western stories. I read Jonah Hex all the time, and I like every time they put like a supernatural twist to Westerns. I enjoy that kind of thing, so I'm looking forward to this. So go to Kickstarter, search for Pariah, Missouri, and you should get to see a clip. You know, there's several clips on the what the project is and some behind the scenes clips, and see if it's for you. And there's still about 16 days to contribute, so give it a shot. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hello.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm tired.
You sound tired.
Yeah, I was like 3 hours of sleep. I'm really deep. So I think Daryl's going to join us if he's not unconscious. Because he wanted to talk some comics, and last night we didn't get a chance. So let me text Daryl and see. We are now, and it looks like Micah just came on board.
Yeah, he's online.
So let's add Micah to the conference.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. Sounds like you're broadcasting
across the room.
Yeah,
coming to you from across the room.
He's in the kitchen.
Are we here? No, yeah. I'm not in the kitchen because I'm in. Let's see.
He's making brunch.
No.
I can hear the eggs frying.
No, that's the washing machine.
Sounds good, whatever it is. And welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yes. After a long hiatus.
Yes, we are back full force after 6 months off. How long has it been?
Absolutely.
I think it's been a month.
1 month.
Let's see, what number are we on?
One something something.
171. 172.
Geek Brunch 172. I'm Mike. I have Micah and Bill with me.
Hello. I'm Bill, and I have Mike and Micah with me.
I guess I'm Micah, and I have Mike and Bill with me.
And you know the rest.
And Daryl will be joining us later.
Oh, will he?
Yeah. He wants to judge the DC Noise podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he going to do another Micah impression?
Yeah. Actually, he wants to join Micah after last night.
Oh, what happened last night?
It was that bad.
Oh, my God.
We had episode 200.
Oh, right. I'm good at numbers.
Congratulations. Yeah.
6.5 hours.
Oof.
Yeah.
People fell asleep during the show.
Nobody. But we had people coming in and out. Keith was bringing them in like drunk Keith does. He starts Skyping. You want to come on? And everybody comes on. And
so anyone who happened to be on Skype last night was on.
Yeah.
Man, this chair is squeaky.
Wow.
Time to get a new one.
It's turning into a Keith chair.
Yeah, Keith chair. It's been farted in too much. Man. So how have you guys been? Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? I don't think we've talked since then.
No, we haven't.
No, you didn't have a good Thanksgiving? Or
no, we didn't. No, we didn't talk. Because we did it on the 18th, and then our next show would have been the 2nd, and we didn't have it. So, wait. I don't know.
We did not talk since Thanksgiving.
Anyway, yeah, it's been like 9 years since we've talked, so we can just assume we missed Thanksgiving.
So how have you guys been?
Same old.
Same old, same old.
At Thanksgiving.
Did you get a lot of comics read? No?
No.
Yeah, I read a bunch of comics.
Hooray! I've been at work.
I did too. I read a lot of old stuff, but now I'm trying to catch up. I'm so far behind. Because what happens is I go to Albuquerque and I get reading time, and it's so dark in there, usually, that I don't read paper. I read my iPad.
So dark where?
In my mother-in-law's house.
I just candles? Don't believe in lights?
No, it's just a dark house. And then if you go outside, I read outside on some of the days that were nice towards the end there.
Is that a potato chip?
No, that's bread. That's toast.
That was a crunchy ass piece of toast. Good Lord. Would you overcook it?
No, that was the crust of it.
He likes it blackened. Cajun toast.
Nope, garlic toast.
Garlic toast.
Well, that one I could believe. Is it like Texas toast or no?
No, I mean, no, because it's homemade. And so it's just toast with butter and garlic on.
Mm.
Like kind actual of bread? Garlic.
Like wheat bread. Claire made it. So.
She makes some crunchy bread. I can see the crust would be crunchy then if it's homemade.
Yep.
Depends on a crustier.
Is it from today or from yesterday?
Like yesterday.
Yeah, let Gaelic bread, garlic bread sit for a day and it'll crunch hard.
Have you ever had Gaelic or garlic bread?
Gaelic?
No. No, I have not.
I'm going to look that up, see if it's a thing.
Gaelic? Did I say that?
You started to say Gaelic and then switched to garlic.
Gaelic garlic?
Gaelic garlic bread sounds like a new thing.
It's a crunchier type of
that's right.
Garlic bread. You're looking it up? You're Googling my fucking mistake? To see if it's real?
I don't think it is. Excellent. Trademark. Copyright. So you're in Albuquerque, huh?
Oh, not now, but
oh, you were
I was for Thanksgiving. It was a good holiday. I got a lot of reading done, hung out with Harley. It was laid back type vacation, which was good because I needed it.
Did you eat a lot of Thanksgiving tamales?
I had one tamale, but mostly I had mashed potatoes with red chili in the New Mexican gravy. It was good.
Sounds good. It's one nice thing about that area. You got lots of chili on everything.
Yeah, and Dion's came up here, which is a pizza franchise that was there. They're in the Springs now. And it was really cool because Barb was Facebooking with them, and she handed out some flyers and such. And they gave us a pass, so I thought, oh, they'd give us a free pizza or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it turns out they gave us open season on the menu, man. It was like you got to go free while they train their employees and eat whatever you wanted off the menu. So that was delicious.
They were trying the recipes out or seeing if the new people they hired could make the food correctly.
Yeah, they had people there from Albuquerque like watching them, and then they were training. But we got like
a free large pizza with green chili and pepperoni, which is our favorite, which we order. And then we got two salads, which are huge salads that they give, and then two drinks. And then they kept bringing us new stuff to try and all kinds of stuff. And then we took a group of... Uh-oh.
Oh, we lost Micah.
No, that was Barb.
Yeah, that wasn't me.
We lost Barb.
Barb is cooking.
Ooh.
We got a lot of snow last night. Well, not a lot, but at least an inch and a half, maybe two on the deck. And Barb's going to make stew today because it's cold. Oh, so you might hear some pans flying. And
some cursing.
Cursing going on. It's just Barb back there. Welcome, Daryl.
Hello.
You're here to talk some comics today because you didn't get to last night.
Sure I didn't.
He tried, damn it. He tried so hard, and Keith just would not let him.
You should get on a comic book podcast sometime.
I know, I need to. I think, Mike, I think we need to do a DC retro show. And me, you, and Chris, and Keith can't come on. And then on the other show, he gets to be Keith. And then on this show,
we have a
just talk about comic books.
Yeah, last night we were even getting ready to stop, and Keith was drunk off his ass, and he was like, "Let's get Jeremy Hahn." And we're like, "Oh God, Keith, don't bring Jeremy Hahn on. You know he's a creator, and he's done Batman and all this stuff." And he's like, "Let's get Jeremy on," and we're like, "Keith, you're too drunk. You didn't let anybody finish a sentence. You'll embarrass yourself." But he promised he'd be good, and he was good. So we had
Only time he was bad is when he forgot. He didn't actually hear that we already talked about something, and then brought it up like we forgot to.
I think it's because he's so drunk, he didn't hear Jeremy say his Kickstarter is starting on Monday. And he
didn't hear any of it.
He was so busy Googling his Kickstarter.
Keith stops hearing people talking to him by the seventh or eighth beer.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. Pretty sad. I read a lot of stuff. It's just sad.
Yeah, I wanted to hear some of the Marvel Now discussion because I've dipped my toe in. I haven't been too impressed. I've only tried a few books, but
I've read them all so far.
Yeah, I want to hear what's going on.
Well, Avengers with what was it? Jonathan Hickman and Opeña. That's my favorite so far. Like I think. I've been reading Avengers maybe 20 years now. And that brought it back to the scope of Avengers. Like, this threat was so big that you can tell that it was something that the Avengers would have to handle. It didn't feel like it was just a vehicle to just have the movie characters in it. Like, it's been feeling like for the last year or so with Bendis writing it.
I've liked the Bendis run, so
epic to me.
This one was a little weird for me.
Well, it's Hickman. That's what he does.
Well, that's why I'm not giving up on it right yet, because when I read Hickman, I find I like to read it in chunks. Like, there's all these threads he sets up, and it's big. It's epic. And
he's like Claremont a little bit.
Yeah.
And he seeds stuff. He seeds all these different things, and then you see fruition like 10 issues in. You start to see why he did that, which is pretty cool. I like the big scope story sometimes. Sometimes I like the short 2-issue ones, and then like Daredevil and stuff like that, but other times I like to read a big epic type of long story.
I thought it was weird that they're bringing in Hyperion. I thought that was really strange.
I kind of got it because it's hard to do what you want to do when you have to worry about, like what the character's doing in other books. Like Hyperion, you can kill him. You could have him go through some emotional moment and you don't have to worry about you know, them telling you you can't do that, because in this book he has to be all right.
Hyperion is in the Squadron Supreme, though, isn't he?
He was, but that team has been...
And that's not even on the same Earth.
No, no. It's he's been through more changes. I think Hyperion Hunt is like Thor. It's like what you could do with Thor.
Is it the new Hyperion or the old one? Or
who knows? It looks like the old version of Hyperion.
It looks, yeah, it does look like the old one that appeared in the Avengers and the, you know how Nighthawk and Hyperion were?
The headstrong one that always messes up. It's that one.
He's replacing the Sentry.
He basically kind of is. It's the Sentry without the...
Without the whininess, yeah.
So, and he does Thor stuff. Like, you want him to do the Thor stuff, and he's impetuous like Thor used to be early on. But, you know, you can't have Thor doing the same stupid stuff all this time. You know, he's been on Earth for how long? You can't have him just jumping into battle every time when he's not supposed to.
The way the story was told, though, I got, like, a little lost in how they even knew what the hell was going on Mars. Like, I didn't even get that. Like, how did they even know Mars was a threat?
Because they shot that bullet, that evolutionary bullet, and Tony had... Remember they said they tracked it, and they saw it coming towards the planet? When they were in the ship. It was in the dialogue. They were saying that how he detected the heroes should already be on their way. The bad guys were talking, and they were saying they should already be on their way, and they think that they can stop us.
Where'd the missile go, though? I mean, did it land?
They shot one, but then remember they shot two others that hit certain areas, that it evolved the areas that it hit. It evolved like 2 million people.
Mm. Hold on a second. Hold on. What is the plot of this book?
I don't know, so that's why I'm going to ask Daryl. I read it and I was like,
There are these beings who are basically, they're like the evolutionary, but on a larger scale, where they're saying, we want to evolve other species because we feel that they could, you know, evolve into so much more. We think that they right now that they are the Cro-Magnon versions of what they could be. So they go to places, they show you them fighting other heroes. It evidently looks like it's other heroes, and pretty much seeding the area with evolutionary technology, which shoots your evolutionary tract eons, you know, in just one few hours or whatever. So they see Earth and they see all these heroes, and they say that we could really spark their evolutionary tract and make them even more than they are now. So they shoot this thing to them to attract the mightiest of their heroes to the planet. And then they know they're going to kick their asses, and they actually do. And then they send Cap back as a message, because he's the only one really with no superpowers, natural superpowers, I would say. So he sent him back as a message to the Earth that this is what's going to happen when we get there. Like, you don't even need to fight, because you're not. We already took out your mightiest heroes. You don't even need to fight us when we come. So actually, Cap had a discussion with Tony after the last run, where they said that there were so many things, that bad things that happened that we couldn't stop, or things that happened that were our fault. So we need a bigger group. We need something where if something happens, we could go bigger in scope and different heroes. So they recruited Sunspot, Cannonball, Monica Rambeau, who used to be the Captain Marvel, Hyperion. These are people that Tony had kept in contact with, evidently, after the last issue of Bendis's run, and prepared them to be called if something happened. And there was a couple of other ones I can't remember.
Falcon, and then there's two guys I don't even know who the hell they are. Like, I think I see Sunspot, but who's the guy with the
Gateway hair? Sun. Gateway, okay. Sun.
So he's the teleporter.
Yeah, he'll be
and
the
teleporter. And then Miss Universe or whoever the...
That's Monica Rambeau, who's not Captain Marvel anymore. Now she's Miss Universe.
She's got the Universe outfit. Captain right. Universe.
Right.
And then who's the one that looks like the Protector but is a female?
She is. She is a female Protector. She's from.
So she's a Kree?
Yeah, she's a Kree. And so that's what we're left with.
Basically. So a bunch of people that aren't popular except for Cap, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. But that's confusing as hell because he's in the Uncanny X-Men, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's been in every version.
He's in every team, whatever, bro.
He's been in every version. Basically, when you do a book, you're like, okay, I want it to sell at least 80,000 copies as opposed to 50,000 copies. Keep Spider-Man and Wolverine in it. Even if you don't use them that much. And people will buy them.
Just keep putting them on the cover.
It's true. Just even if you have them stand there in the background and they say two things. They go bub and Spider-Man goes, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. And that's all you need to do. And people will just sit there and they will buy that book. And it will get the numbers that they need.
I like the art a lot.
I thought love it.
The story kind of wasn't for me, I guess, but I like Hickman enough to not say I'm going to stop it. Because I've read some Hickman books and I'm like, okay. And then I read more and more and then I get involved in the universe that he's creating.
Yeah. He can go out. He can really, his stories can go far out there sometimes. And then after a while, he'll bring it back a little bit.
Yeah, well, his Fantastic Four run started rocky with me, but
yeah,
I tell you, when that thing got going, man, it was one of my favorite Fantastic Four runs. So
I fell in love with them all over again.
Yeah. Did you try Thunderbolts?
I didn't get it yet. I'll get that in my shipment for next week because I bought the bundle for the first 2 months.
Yeah.
Check out everything.
The only reason I got that is I picked it off the shelf is it was the last one left. I guess they sold out on Wednesday, so.
It probably did.
It was the last one, and I like Steve Dillon artwork. Or is it Steve Dillon?
Yep.
Yeah, he does. He did the Punisher with Garth Ennis, and yeah, it was interesting, but I'm not going to continue with that one.
I like that kind of thing. I'll probably continue with it because I like that whole thing of taking. Go ahead, Mike.
What is this Thunderbolts team? Like
this Thunderbolts team is such a weird premise because it centers around General Ross.
Red Hulk.
Yeah,
so
Red
Hulk.
Yeah, it's like he's making a team of people that don't give a shit, I think. Like, that are just mercenaries and they'll kill and do what needs to get done. So he recruits all of them. I think some of them reluctantly enough. Some of them
Punisher.
Punisher's the most reluctant one to join because he kind of forces him into the situation without giving it away. But yeah, it's got Deadpool, which I really don't like. Elektra, which I've liked and not liked in times, depending on who's writing her. And then Venom, who I liked, but...
Who is Venom?
It's still Harry.
Harry Osborn.
Wait, Harry's Venom?
What happened to Eddie Brock?
He's gone.
No, he hasn't been Venom in a while.
Not
Eddie Brock.
Flash?
Yeah, Flash Thompson.
Flash Thompson, I mean. Flash Thompson.
No, didn't he lose it?
No.
No. You confused the hell out of me when you said Osborn.
I know. I don't know. You know what? I was just watching Amazing Spider-Man this morning again, and it just threw me. I was thinking about that, and it threw me off with Osborn, Oscorp stuff.
Yeah, I was like, when did Flash lose it? Because I like the Remender run.
It was taken away. He ran away to Vegas because they were going to take the suit away, and he had got caught up with that. that thing where he was being blackmailed by the villain who knew his identity and his secrets. But they took care of that. They fixed all that, and he's back to working. He even became an Avenger with Secret Avengers. And they worked out a way that they can keep and control the symbiote better. They don't have to take it off so quick. And he has legs now.
So he's not in the military?
How did he get legs?
They gave him cybernetic legs.
Okay.
Like the runners? You know those kind of... It kind of looks like that design, you know, where they...
Like the little ski things? Like the little...
Yeah, they're a little bit like that. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A little bit more involved, high tech, but it's like that. Which is pretty good.
That's a series I was enjoying, I guess, quite a bit, but the double shipping killed it for me.
Yeah, it did it for me too.
I just said I'm done with it, and they burned the shit out of that one because mm-hmm. they like twice a month shipped it more than every book, and then it crossed over into other books like Deadpool and shit like that, and I'm like, I don't want to do this.
So this team, they're not bad guys pretending to be good guys, nor are they prisoners.
Nope. Well, if you've met any of these characters, it's like a team of those people that that really are vigilantes, or they're out to do good, but they're not afraid to kill anybody, or you know.
Well, they're not even heroes. These are the guys who a lot of them are just basically they take out bad guys. They're not good guys, but they take out bad guys. They don't do the whole thing where we don't kill and whatnot. We do missions when they need to be done.
And in some of their cases, I don't think if they hurt bystanders, they give a shit.
I
think the Punisher does, but...
He has a code.
I'm not sure the others give a crap.
Elektra, not so much.
Deadpool, does he really care?
He has a weird... Now he does, because he has a weird sense of morality in terms of he does care to a point.
And Ross, now, I think, was grounded a little bit by Cap, but I don't trust that fucker.
No, I never trust Ross. He's a little bastard. I never trusted him. And Elektra, Elektra's schizophrenic because she goes through whatever writer wants her to be. Other times she could be really nicey-nicey, and it seems like it's not her. And then other times she's written as the assassin again. So it depends on whoever's doing it, which version of Elektra they liked.
But I think this is the book that was responsible for Rucka saying, fuck it, I want to leave.
It was, because he said that they had announced this book while he was still writing Punisher Warzone, and they didn't even tell him that they were going to do that. So he just said, you know, basically he's like, well, y'all own it, it's yours, and, you know, I don't want to do... He didn't want to do any crossovers, really. And he didn't want to, you know, have to worry about another book. So he basically said, I'm out. So.
All right, let's let Bill talk about a book for a second, and then we'll come back to Marvel Now.
you can continue on Marvel Now if you want. You're on a roll.
Are you sure?
How many of these books are there?
Well, I've only read one more. Well,
what did you read, Mike?
I read Uncanny X-Men number 2.
Damn you, Bendis.
I like Bendis, so I of all the books that I've read on Marvel Now, that's the one I'm enjoying. So me and Daryl will differ on opinion, but I'm finding that book a little more interesting than any of the others. It's more interesting, but it's more of the same.
Wait, it's Uncanny X-Men or Uncanny Avengers? It's X-Men?
Oh, Uncanny Avengers, no. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought
You're thinking of All New X-Men. This month.
No, I hate Marvel right now. I'm just not in the happy place.
This is titled Uncanny Avengers, and it's by...
That's not Bendis, then. That's
Rick Remender and John...
Okay.
Wrong title and wrong...
Wrong title, wrong creators. So Bendis is doing Uncanny X-Men.
Yes, and that one hasn't come out yet.
Yeah, that hasn't come out. Right now he's doing All New X-Men, and he's doing Uncanny. I mean, Uncanny X-Men. He's going to read
all the X-books.
Yeah.
No, just the two. The main ones.
The two main X-books.
Right.
Okay. Uncanny Avengers seems like it's an X-book.
Yeah, that's with John Cassaday and Rick Remender. It'll come out like once a year.
I like Cassidy's art.
Yeah, I do too.
His art is good. Was this really is a good, good story.
On Astonishing X-Men for a good 5 months, man. I swear, Astonishing X-Men came out on time for at least 5 or 6 months, and then shit went sideways.
It did. It really did. I love the run.
I'll give him a chance. Actually, I'm not going to be reading it, but whatever.
Did you read Uncanny Avengers number 2, Daryl? Are you waiting for
me? Yeah, I got it. I read it.
See, I like that one.
Yeah, that one I like, but I...
There's a couple things I didn't like, but there's a couple things I like. I really...
Which one you didn't like first?
I didn't like what they were doing with Scarlet Witch going again, switching... Like, maybe she'll turn on the team again. I didn't like that.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I didn't like that at all. And I didn't like the part where Cap is like, well, I need to get a mutant up front. And Wolverine's like, you fucking asshole. You didn't even ask me. But I liked most of the story. The thing I didn't like is what they were doing with Scarlet Witch and how Red Skull is the villain now. And he was like trying to... You had like many pages of him trying to convince Scarlet Witch to wipe out the mutants again, because that's what his goal is to kill all mutants. But God damn it, we just went through this shit. You know, it just doesn't seem like
she just came back, didn't she?
Yeah.
It's a far-fetched story, and I know they're gonna say he has Xavier's brain because they cut Xavier's brain out, and he's using.
Oh fuck! I'm done.
So now that he has a sum of Xavier's telepathic abilities, so he's influencing her. That's what it's implied, that he's kind of using that to influence Scarlet Witch to be crazy again.
And that was the shocking piece of the story to me, is he had cut open his brain and now he has the ability to be like Xavier at some level, I guess.
Yeah. And he's a clone of... he's a clone that they had put to the side before he was killed in Nazi Germany. Or supposedly killed or frozen or whatever. I forgot what happened to him after Cap disappeared. But he's a clone version of it. He wakes up. He was a stopgap in case they lost the war. And he was supposed to be awakened at a certain time. So now he wakes up and he wants to... The mutants are the new black people that he hates. You know, black people, Jews, and all that. Now it's mutants. So now he wants to eliminate...
This is so dumb. Race.
It's comics. What do you expect?
Well, yeah. It seems like we're regurgitating. It's just different creators in every pocket. That's what...
Well, you are... I mean, because that's what they have a... It's like having a kitchen with the same ingredients, and that's what you have. And then they have to use those same 12... ingredients, but this is what you got to work with. Because these are corporate characters.
Even still, though... Jump. I thought it could do a little better.
And that's why I left All New X-Men. It was probably, to my opinion, one of the better written stories, but I just couldn't take it anymore. It's like, I guess I liked what they were doing with Scott up until the last quarter of the year, and I mean this last, and then, man,
I don't like villain Scott. I like
Yeah,
Scott.
I like Scott being the leader of the mutants. Right. That's what I like. And then it seems like he's the villain now, and I don't want to see that. And then I don't like... I'm not a fan of, like, let's go back and... That's why I hate Star Trek. Let's go do it, like, the Next Generation. Let's go back in time and wear these cowboy hats and shit. And I'm like, I want to see that.
Say you hate Star Trek.
I hate Next Generation.
Oh, you can hate Next Generation. Just don't you say you hate Star Trek.
Did I send you that picture of the Pez dispensers?
No.
Oh, I'm going to have to do that.
Were you supposed to send it to me yesterday?
No, I was at the grocery store, and I saw a whole a Pez dispenser display of next generation.
That's it? Just next generation? They didn't have anything else?
They didn't have the original crew, but it was kind of unique because it had all of them in there as a Pez dispenser.
You got to make the popular ones, not the old stuff.
Well, you don't see them doing a whole new franchise off of Picard, do you?
Not yet. Give them time.
Yeah.
Doing that. What are they going to do? Old man? You going to go back to the old man?
No, it'll be a younger old man. He'll be like 40 instead of 50. Yeah,
younger old man.
Much more exciting.
He'll be 60 instead of 70.
And you know what he'll do? He'll drink a stronger version of black tea. He'll have a more caffeinated black tea as opposed to.
And their staff meetings will be what? How long will the staff meetings be for this?
Oh, only 25 minutes. He doesn't have time for that kind of stuff anymore. Okay. He's a man. He has like three different meetings at once.
Right.
He's multitasking, much busier.
I got you.
You don't think they'll introduce a young Picard at some point?
Oh God, the way this series is going, absolutely.
Unless they jump, they do an episode where they, I mean, in a movie where they jump into the future for a minute, I can see them.
Do you really doubt it though?
I don't
figure at some
it,
point
but...
they'll want to go to the newer stuff, and then they'll need a way to get there, so they'll figure it out.
They'll just go back in time and have an alternate universe.
Like absolutely.
They did with the new one. It's all they have.
I mean, not in the next two movies they won't do it, but I think if this series survives to like four or five movies, they're gonna start throwing shit in there. You're gonna get Picard and some other stuff as well. Like
I don't hate the next generation. If they do Picard and all that, just put the stuff that I just ramp it up a little bit.
Well, if it's a movie, it's gonna be. Did you hate the movies too?
They weren't good. Except for Star Trek First Contact, they really weren't good. Like, the stories, you could tell that they were just... Generations was just a mess. Even the right... I listened to the commentary, and when the director and the writer spent more time talking about how they fucked up than actually talking about the movie, and that's straight up what he did. He was is pretty honest about his stuff. Even if he doesn't like something, he will straight up say, I didn't like it. You know, he was like, I was tired. The series had just ended. We were rushing to get this done. And we had to get this movie. You know, they wanted this movie out by a certain time. And it was just hell trying to get through this. And you could tell by the story with the Nexus and the whole thing. They could have did something else.
I saw those stories, and I guess because I didn't care about the TV show, I didn't care about the movies. Whereas I like watch everyone. I even watched the bad Star Trek, the original crew, and I like those movies.
I have watched every single Trek movie, TV show. I've read the books. I will do it. Even if I hate it, I will be like Data and be like, I hate this. Give me more. Because that's how much I like Star Trek and Star Wars. You know how many times I've watched a prequel and cried inside a little bit? Because I just like the universe, and I'll keep watching it.
Yeah,
just mute the TV and just watch the images?
Yeah, I'm just part of the problem, I know. Because they know that. They know that they don't have to try as hard because they can...
Get on that Clone Wars, man.
I've watched it, but it's still not... I mean, it's just not as...
Awesome.
I'd rather they did the animation that they do for those games.
Yeah, that's more money.
It is, but it's just so much better. That, like, that's the Star Trek I want to see. I mean, Star Wars I want to see if they do the, when they do the whatever, they do the next movies. I don't know what they're going to do, but when they do the next movies, I'd rather see that. Clone Wars is like the baby, like, it's like baby steps to what you can do.
I love Clone Wars.
Oh, Clone Wars is awesome.
That cartoon is the shit. I mean, it just... It's so much depth in there, and...
Especially when they get
it's
bored
still
and
in my head.
Off.
But it's still in my head that they're trying to fit it into... They spend... You know, they're trying to fit it into that pretty much a badly written story.
Yeah, but these stories aren't badly written, so it doesn't matter.
No, they're not. But it's just in my head I'm stuck with the movies, and the animation is just okay to me, but it's just, it's still too kiddish for me.
I think the animation is good, and they use those, oh, the character, like the way the art style is drawn helps the animation. It's very similar to the Spectacular Spider-Man TV show that was on a few years back, where all the characters look funny, but the budget was small, and so what they had to do was use not super detailed like art design in order to have at least somewhat decent animation that looks a little bit better in motion. And so Clone Wars kind of is in the same spot where, like, Lucas has a lot of, like, the LucasArts people have a lot of money, but not, like, that much money. Where they can just, well, I guess they do now. Disney's, like, rolling in dough, so.
And it's cool. I just want to see one where it's just cool. Like, the when they do that commercial for the games, and I turn around, I look at that, and you go back and I look at Clone Wars and stuff like that. It just pairs. It's just so small in depth. I'm looking at it. It's like going backwards. When you do something like that on TV as a commercial, it's like going backwards. It's like
that's
having
a commercial.
I know, but I'm saying they could do. You can do that. Like I would love to see something with that. Do something with that, a movie or whatever, with that.
They do that at the video games.
I don't play those. I'm not playing that. I mean, I'm not. I don't want to play.
You should.
40-50 hour video game. I want to watch.
Why not?
Because he's doing the Marvel Alliance. That's
Alliance.
Why.
I don't have time for all that. I can't do all of it.
That's not. He's
too busy trying to get his PayPal account working so he could buy more Marvel points.
Exactly. Damn it. I'm doing that, and I'm shooting terrorists.
That's so terrible because you're playing Guardians of Time, my friend, with Marvel characters.
Playing Guardians
you're playing Guardians of Time.
I have a mental block telling me I'm not. And
you are. You know I'm right.
Mike, you're not going to break that. You might be right, but in my mind, the mental blocks I put in to trick myself into not being that.
That's why Keith cut over so easily. He's like, oh, this is just Guardians of Time with Marvel characters. That's why
you're playing a Keith Facebook game.
Yeah.
I started it. No, it's not.
I mean, it's a Facebook Alliance. Game. It's a Facebook game.
It's Marvel Alliance. You don't even know.
All right. Anybody got another book?
What does Bill got? Bill read a lot of books.
Yeah, I did read a lot of books. I got a. I don't want to start with that one. I changed my mind. So I got a bunch of Image number ones because Image likes to bring out like 6 or 7 number ones every month. And I think the best one I read is Storm Dogs number one, written by David Hein. Did you guys read that?
I have not, but I like David Hein. I just passed on it.
Because you're getting too much stuff.
Yeah.
So this is written by David Hein, art by Doug Braithwaite. And it was really good. It was a sci-fi book where it takes place in the future and this where we've explored the universe and group of scientists are going to this one planet that we have a mining colony on because there was a murder on the planet. So they're looking into it to see what happened.
It's Outland with Sean Connery.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Isn't that what happened on the moon of Jupiter? Isn't that Outland's presence or murder happened?
Yeah.
I didn't see that movie.
I think you just sold it to me now. I think I have to buy that now. Thank you.
Yeah, and on the planet, there's also, like, the local natives on the planet. And they have what the scientists do is when they get to a planet, they assess the technology level of the inhabitants, like the local inhabitants, and adjust their technology to suit what the locals can handle. Because I guess one of the things in the scientist world is there's a thing called, what do they call it? It's like the web or something like that. The weave. which is kind of like the internet, but I don't think you need a computer to do it. It's kind of like we're all connected. I don't know. They didn't explain like the technology, but it's kind of like the internet that just appears before you and you can interact with it and interact with people.
It's like a cell phone.
Like a virtual cell phone.
Yeah, like an iPhone attached to your head.
But I think there must be an implant or something in you so you can like, you don't need a device. You can just make it appear before you.
I want that.
Daryl would have like porn all the time. You'd never get anything done.
I sure wouldn't. So I read comics on that too.
Yeah, just comics right before you.
Yeah.
You could have a woman holding the comic during the baby.
You know, I would.
Read to me a comic.
And then, so in this book, then they get to the planet, and so it talks about like the scientists, and you get to know them a little bit and their relationships to one another. And then they get to the planet and encounter. Oh, there's like acid rain on the planet, so they can only go out at certain times, like when it's not raining. But anyway, so and they get to they find someone who's been. Who basically dies in front of them, and they're now they have to investigate what's going on because there's something strange going on this planet. So it was really, really well done. The writing was really good, and the art was really good too. So I really enjoyed it. I recommend it. I also read here, Mike. Here's a time travel book for you. Come Back, number one.
I love that book. That issue.
Come Back.
Come Back number one. Is this a new Image too?
New Image book.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Ed Brisson.
Brisson, yeah. I interviewed that guy. He's great. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he did a book for a one shot for 215 Inc. called Black River. Is that what it was? I think it's Black River. I talked about it on the show before. I was really, really impressed by it. It was actually. It's the best thing I've seen out of 215 Inc. It was a really, really, really good one shot. I really enjoyed it. So, and I actually got this not realizing that it was the same guy, but I really like his writing style. And the art in it, it's by Michael Walsh, who I'm not real familiar with, but I liked the art a lot. So this is about, it seems to be there's an agency that will go back in the past to. Or do they go in the future too?
No. Well, if they can, they didn't say it yet, but they it's just the past so far. So,
yeah, so you can hire them to go back in the past and fix something that's got screwed up in your life for exorbitant amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
So in one case, they're getting hired to go back and save a woman's life who died. So someone comes, the family comes to them and says, you know, she died and now we want to bring her back, or we want you to go back in the past and prevent her from dying. And it seems like they have to do a thing where when they go back in the past and change something, they have to make it seem like what was supposed to happen actually did happen.
Yeah. They can't change. They make a big deal about that. They can't change the timeline.
So if they go back and save someone's life, they have to take a body to make it seem like that person actually did die and recreate right. The accident that was supposed to happen or the circumstance that was supposed to happen.
And only the rich can do it. Like it's only the it costs so much money that basically even, you know, people who are very wealthy, like they're pretty much giving up everything to pay for to do this thing.
To change time?
Like if you for instance, one of the guys, he lost his wife.
Yeah, but why would these fuckers want to change time if they're so fucking well-to-do?
Well, they loved their wife. Like, he loved his wife. She died in a car accident. And he won her back. You don't care.
It's
you
cheaper. Want her back.
Get three new ones.
I just would have got a new one. But that's me. But other people, they actually love their wives. So... He, you know, they have to go in, you know, a protective custody. Come and hit the strip club. Well, yeah, I'm saying you just get better. You go younger after she died. That's no big deal.
Jesus Christ.
What do you want?
Thank God you're not writing that comic. Okay. There would be, you couldn't come back. You'd be like, fuck it, I'm moving forward.
Got this idea for a book. This rich guy and his wife dies, and then he goes to a strip club.
That would be the story right there. Move on.
Kickstart that fucker. Let's go.
Not gonna be comeback.
It'll and be let's not put it in Vertigo because Karen Berger's gone. So let's make sure that you started an Image because it could make lots of money.
I want to own
Vertigo.
People want to read a story about a rich fucker that just goes about to the strip club.
And that would be my story.
Yeah.
He would play Marvel Alliance.
And he listens to DC Noise.
He listened to DC Noise. He loves Drunk Keith.
He calls Drunk Keith.
Leaves bad iTunes reviews for Drunk Keith. And then that'd be great. I would do that. That would be my comic right there.
These must have come out in the same month then, huh?
I believe so. Yeah, I think these are all the same.
I hope Image does that thing again with Comixology with the number ones.
The number ones.
I'm sure God, I found some that I really loved, and I'll have to talk about that later. But that was how I found Grim Leaper, and that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I love when they do that, when they have those free.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have bought that book.
I went down the line.
I got all the number ones off of Comixology. And...
Yeah, Dancer. I'd like a whole bunch.
Oh, Dancer's another one. So those freebies made me buy the other book. So Dancer was like six issues or so.
Yep.
And Grim Leaper was only four or five, but I read them all, so it sold me on them.
It did. It did do that. It definitely did that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's worth doing for them. They probably did it this time just to see how many sales they would get based on it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was successful, they'll obviously do it again.
I hope so.
So I read another Image number one. Nowhere Men number one.
Another good one.
And this was written by Eric Stevenson, who is the publisher or editor of Image. What is he?
I think he was. Is he still?
I think he still is.
He's a publisher. Yeah, he's still the
publisher. That was like Rob Liefeld's boy at one time, right? Like, he used to work with him in Extreme and all those others.
Oh, is that where he came from?
Yeah, I think he came from the Liefeld branch.
I think so, but I think he was doing
Brigade and stuff like that.
Yeah, because his book was the only one that came out.
Yeah,
at one point. It's true. I mean,
You're not shitting. It's right. It's true. If there was any coming from that studio, it was because he was not. Liefeld wasn't on the book.
Yeah. So, and he's made sure that Image has really been, you know, he's made sure that they've been pumping out books. They're not known as a company that their books don't come out anymore. They kind of got out of that. You know, they slowly moved away from having that reputation. I think he was a big part of that.
So what was this one? Can you talk about this one a little bit?
Yeah, this one, it starts kind of in the past where there's these four scientists, like superstar scientists on the cutting edge who are joined together to form this company. Called, shit, what was it? World Corp, maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think World Corp. So, and then it jumps to the present where there's one of the guys has left the company, one of the guys is upset with the company because apparently they've Well, I don't know. They created some kind of monster. That part I don't really understand. They haven't explained that yet.
Well, one wants to break scientific, like there's certain things that they're not supposed to do, even in science. There's certain lines you're not supposed to cross. And wasn't it one wanted to, and it was the others didn't. They thought he was breaking. They didn't want to break the law. They thought it was what he was doing was.
Going too far. Was
illegal or going too far in science? Like, you know. And that was the break between them? Something like that.
Yeah.
It's... Wow, it's crazy talking to comics, man. Weird feeling.
You're waiting for someone to interrupt with a...
I am!
He ducks every time.
It's like I'm waiting for the abusive person to come in and hit me. So... For being here.
And then then the story jumps to, well, I guess, yeah, it jumps to these other people who are employees of WorldCorp who are working in this lab, and it appears that the world has been infected by this weird disease, which the implication is that WorldCorp probably created it, or this guy created it or something. So they're working on the solution for it. So you kind of get the interaction between them working for this company. So something's going on in this world. It was well written. The art. Who did the art in it? It was. I gotta find. They put the credits like in a weird. Oh, here it's on the back. Nate Bellegarde.
It put me in the mind of Manhattan Projects a little bit too. The world, I mean, you know, the science.
Yeah. So that was a good one too. So Image has been cranking out some good stuff, I think.
Yeah. Did anybody read The Great Pacific?
I read it, but I didn't like it, so that's why I didn't.
You didn't like it? I kind of liked it, even though I hate recycling.
This is all about recycling.
It was all about recycling. Rich guy with Joe Harris and Martin Morazzo. And it's guy Chaz Warrington. He pretty much belongs to this family that is just, they're so rich that it's disgusting how rich they are. And their company does lots of oil, you know, oil refineries and all that kind of stuff worldwide. And he wants to go the route of using other sources of energy. And his company is like, we're not going to do that. That's not happening. And it's kind of in the future, I guess.
It's a futuristic
world. And yeah, he goes through this change. Like he's gone all over the world, and he's ran with, you know, he's traveled with in other areas where they basically love the land. They live off the land and they use the natural resources responsibly. And he's lived with them. And he kind of wants to bring that into the world. But he knows it has to be something that'll make money, and he wants to. It's kind of, you know, it's that debate. It gets into the debate because he's like, this form of energy will make money in the long run. But they're thinking short term, and they want to make money now using oil. So it's kind of like that, but it didn't bore me because it had enough. It just had, I don't know, the first issue was written. It had enough to not make me get bogged down into the political debate instead of just enjoying the story, which I did.
I thought it was a little heavy on the political, not the political stuff, but the
environment.
Lesson. Yeah.
It was. It was. Especially discussions with his grandfather.
Yeah.
Who smoked.
My main complaint was with the writing. I don't know. I thought it was kind of flat. It was a very linear story and very flat writing, I thought.
Well, it feels like he was trying to get you to a point quick. Yeah. And that might be... Go ahead.
So this is a little bit of a spoiler, but there's one part I didn't really understand. When Can I spoil this? Do you guys care?
We spoiled the shit out of everything else.
Yeah, we do it.
It's a recent comic, though. So. Okay, whatever. Everyone's listening, spoiler.
So is Marvel now. And we just said Xavier's brain is taken out.
It's been 2 weeks. I think it's been 2 weeks. That's a good time.
Okay, so there's a part in this where the kid like fakes his death, right?
Right.
And so what he does is he has someone come to his apartment and trash the place and throw him out the window. But and then the company says, oh, everyone assumes he's dead. But my question is, why are they assuming he's dead? Because all they would have found is his apartment trash. So why would that lead them to think he was dead?
I don't know. It seemed like he did something else. Like he fell into this garbage thing that was placed there. I guess I would assume it was placed there to catch him.
Yeah. But why go through all that when unless someone witnessed it?
But I'm pretty like he paid for everything else. I would think that he would they kind of made it look like his body was disintegrated, I think, in that thing. I think it doesn't just get garbage. I think it disintegrates garbage. So when he fell in it, automatically you're dead. There's no if it burns away.
So someone must have seen him fall in it then.
Right, right. I'm thinking somebody did, and there's no coming out of that because it disintegrates whatever's in it. So that was your easy out, that you're dead. Which they wanted anyway. They wanted him dead, and he funneled out like millions of dollars to fund his the team that's going to make this technology available.
And he lives on an island of garbage.
Yes, he does. In the caves of forgotten dreams.
Any more number ones?
I got a Valiant number one.
Ah.
I don't know if we talked about this one already. Shadow Man number one.
I think I did, but I don't know if you
just came out. I talked about it.
Okay. I read that.
I love that book. I love the Valiant universe. I really do. I fell in love with it entirely. And they have bundles. That's what I love. I love that they have
50% off bundle.
Yeah. Their bundles are only $11.
Yeah. I hope they keep that going.
I hope so too, because it makes it a lot easier than having to click down that line. I don't feel as bad when I just click the one thing.
Yeah, I like their hardcovers too. That Bloodshot one was really cool.
The original Bloodshot or the
The original, the reprint.
I found it at an old comic shop. They had a sale. I bought issues 1 all the way to 17.
Yeah,
that's. And then they come out with the 3.
Yeah, I'm kind of rereading Bloodshot now, and I'm enjoying it because. Back in the day, I don't remember enjoying that one that much. Like, it was least favorite, but now it's... Man, yeah. Now that I'm reading it, I'm seeing all kinds of shit happening.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
The new universe is awesome, too. What did you think of the Shadow Man? Are you going to stick with it, or is it a trade thing for you, Bill?
I'm getting all the Valiant in trade except for Archer and Armstrong.
What? You didn't like it?
No, I'll get it in trade.
Oh, okay.
Their Valiant said they're going to release all their trades at
$9.99. I know.
I'm triple dipping, man. When they have their 99-cent deal, man, I think I blew $100 on that last one. It was like every Valiant was 99 cents. I was like, buy. I couldn't stop.
Wow. Yeah, I got it digitally. I bought everything, all the Valiants. I was getting the first issues, the printed copies, and then I just said the hell with it. I just started buying it all digitally.
So you're getting both?
No, I'm kind of back. I started getting the bundles last month. I started with the ordering the bundles, so now I'm back to the papers again. Damn it, I have too many comics in my house. Can't stop myself. I wish it was digital like that. I wish you could buy a digital bundle off of DCBS. Just a digital bundle. I would I would be so in that. It'd be ridiculous. Makes it easier.
I read that Grim Reaper number one over the Thanksgiving break, and it was one of the best reads I've ever read. I thought it was so freaking awesome. It like just, it was written for me because I like Quantum Leap. Did you guys read Grim Reaper?
I did, but I don't remember it.
Grim Reaper is like a Quantum Leap, but it's so, it's a little bit different because they jump into bodies that are gonna die, like almost within like a 24-hour period. So this, and then they enter this weird scenario while they're leaping where they get pulled into picture frames and regurgitated out of somebody's mouth and shit. I just loved it. It's awesome. But they like enter like serial killers' bodies and stuff like that, and it's a love story. That's what's amazing about it. It's about two people that are grim leaping, I guess you could say. They're leaping in a bunch of dead bodies and they find each other.
Oh yeah, they met in the first issue.
And they
right?
fall in yeah, love, but... yeah.
The first issue is free.
Yeah.
I gotta click the button.
Oh, I loved it. Not only did I love the primary story, there was always a backup in like Tales from the Crypt type story, but it was like a weird romantic tale that's just so twisted. You're like, what the fuck did I just read? And man, I just loved it. And I guess it's by the same guy that wrote Peter Panzerfaust.
It is.
And that one I didn't like, so it was weird.
I kind of liked that, Peter. I just, you know what happened? So many other books came out. I kind of forgot to stick with it.
That was another one that was offered free, so I was like, I'm going to try. If I like this one that much, I'm going to read that Peter Panzerfaust. But I'll tell you this, I've never been a Peter Pan fan, so.
Me either. That's why I didn't think I was going to like it.
Micah loved Peter Panzerfaust. Not really. Where'd he go?
Oh, I was on mute.
You did it again.
Totally... He's been screaming, I hate that fucking book. The fucking book.
I was going to say, it wasn't particularly for me.
I wasn't blown away by it either.
It did not wow me in any way.
But I wasn't blown away by Grim Reaper either. But I didn't dislike it.
I was blown away.
Well, I ordered the first one.
Suck me in. When they have the things free, I'm all for that. And because I'll buy all the whole damn series right there if it's good.
I hit that button too much because I'm getting
So like you just mentioned a bunch of number ones, and if I have my iPad and one of those I like, I would finish it. Like if you come out of Storm Dogs for free and I try it, I like it, then I'd probably buy the whole series.
Dang it.
I'll get it when it comes out, because that was my favorite of the new images. If you like sci-fi and David Hein.
What's your two pluses? What are the two pluses?
What are you talking about?
David Hein and sci-fi.
Oh, yeah. I like David Hein. We were just talking to Jeremy Hahn, who worked with David Hein, I think a couple times.
Yeah, he did. Wow, how that happened. Trunk Keith. Even when he's doing
that actually went remarkably well. I thought it was going to be a disaster.
Drunk Keith is like the Hulk. When you think the Hulk is going to smash everything, sometimes he does save some people.
So, Micah, have you had a chance to read anything?
Bar, I read some stuff. Okay, let's see. The first thing I read was a Dark Horse comic. It's short. It cost $1. It was Mass Effect, Blasto, Eternity is Forever. And so I've been playing... Mass Effect is a video game. It's like a big science fiction space opera thing. Like, totally ripping off like Star Trek and Star Wars, like almost wholesale. except for it's really, like, it's really, really good at some parts. Other parts of it are terrible. But, and so this comic book is basically a joke comic. I was trying to figure out a way to talk about it, because it's, like, all right. No one listening to this, unless they play Mass Effect, is ever going to read it or like it in any way, because it's only good if you've played the games and are somewhat fond of them. Because, like, the crux of the story is that there is this race of creatures in the Mass Effect universe that are like these giant pink jellyfish things, and they have a funny speech pattern, and they don't do much but be weird floating jellyfish things. In this universe, there are these people called Spectres, and they're, like, super awesome police things or whatever. They're basically, like, super soldiers with, like, a license to kill, and they're allowed to do whatever they need to in order to complete their missions for, like, this council of, like, alien races that got together who are basically ruling the galaxy. So, they're, like, special police with superpowers, and they can do whatever they want. So, this comic book is a joke comic. It's only 15 pages. And it's about a giant pink jellyfish who happened to be one of these specters. And it was hilarious and well worth the $1 I spent on it. But that's just for me. I also read a bunch of books from Cinebook, who's like my favorite publisher of all time. I read Orbital, which is another science fiction book. And what's weird is that this one was only done like a couple of years ago, because normally Cinebook, well, not normally, I guess, but most of Cinebook's library is like 30, 40 years old, or they're taking old books and translating them into English and sending them out. But this one is only about 2 years old, and it's it starts out with, on Earth, there's going to be this vote on whether or not to join a confederation of aliens. Like, we've had contact with aliens, and a lot of shit's gotten weird. And there's a chance that we can join up with their massive galactic government situation. And they would come in and give us improvements. And basically, it seems to be a good deal. But on Earth, there's a group of isolationists who are saying this is a terrible idea, and Earth shouldn't join up with the aliens because aliens are dumb. And so, right before the big vote, when the whole Earth is going to basically decide whether or not to join the Confederation, an isolationist group blows up basically like all the main leaders of the join with the alien movement, and they all get exploded. And so the story takes place, I guess, like the very beginning of the book. But the story takes place a couple years after, or like 10 or 12 years after that, when Earth ended up joining the Confederation regardless. And it follows along the son of one of the like major politicians who was blown up in like the attack. And he basically works for this peacekeeping organization that goes around from planet to planet solving disputes, basically by negotiating with people, right, if at all possible. And if not possible, by blowing shit up, which is like, it's kind of a fun look. And so you meet this dude, and he gets to meet his partner, who is an alien. It's a weird, like, it's a cool looking alien. The book is full of cool looking art designs. But
does it take place mostly on Earth or somewhere else, did you say?
No, in space. Okay. It's the beginning is on Earth, and then it's broken up into four, like, the story is told over four books. They're like all like 50, 55, 56 pages of story a piece. And the final book and a half sort of take place on Earth. But the rest of it takes place, one of them's on a space colony somewhere, like a mining colony, where everything gets weird. And another one takes place somewhere. Oh, wow. I read them like 3 weeks ago, or like the first two, 3 weeks ago, and I have no idea where they took place. Earth.
Is this manga?
Nope. It's European.
Never heard of it.
Of course not.
Never heard of Cinebook.
I heard of Orbital.
You've heard Franco-Belgian.
You've heard of Cinebook because I talk about them semi-regularly. They do the Yoko Cinebooks, and they do 13. So they translate those.
Oh, 13, like the IVV. Yeah. I mean,
XIII.
Is that the spy type one or?
Yeah, that's a spy book. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
They're like humanoids, basically.
They're basically humanoids. Yeah.
I have read that, but it was that the one that you just mentioned, 13, was 13. Coming out by another company at the time. It was Alias Publishing or something like that.
Yeah. Cinebook. I don't know. Like, I've really only heard of them starting in 2009, 2010, somewhere around there. And it seemed to have blowed up. At least in America, they've gotten bigger.
See, I've heard of Orbital. I've heard of something like Orbital, but I thought it was like a DC hardcover. And when you said that, I went and looked it up, and I don't see anything called what I thought it was. Maybe it's called Orbiter that I'm thinking of.
Hmm.
It does sound familiar.
Yeah, Orbiter is a Vertigo title.
So it's good, Micah?
Yeah, it's really Orbital is actually really good.
My library has the first two, so I might have to...
Oh, pick those up.
Check those out.
You have a good library.
Yeah, I do.
My library does not have this. I just bought them. They're, like, a little pricey, but I'm cool with it because I like the books. I haven't read one I haven't liked yet, so... But it's cool because it follows these two people around and they get to go talk to people and then they get to blow shit up. Essentially.
That's always good.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. And I like the alien design and I really like the story. The story is not subtle, really, but like it doesn't do exactly what I expected it to do all the time, which is a nice twist. Sometimes it's blatantly obvious as what's going to happen. But every now and then they do some little twist here and there that make it like enjoyable to keep going with, so I'm a fan. But I'm also just a big fan of certain kinds of space science fiction books. And this one definitely hit the right notes for me. Actually, the entire third book takes place on Earth. The third and fourth books take place in Malaysia. Just the third one's mostly underwater, which is why I was sort of confused by it. But yeah. Let's see. I read that. Let's see, what else am I reading? Like, everything else I'm possibly reading is boring stuff. Not boring, but like Spider-Man, still going on. I mean, Ultimate Spider-Man, it's still happening. It's still a good book.
Yeah, I like it.
There's just much to say about Ultimate Spider-Man at this point in time. It's a Bendis book, which means it's going at a snail's pace, and that's every great. Issue is good. It's easier to talk about, like, six issues at a time as opposed to, like, I read issue 17. Spider-Man fought stuff and fought the Captain America and grew a little bit more as a person and as a hero. He's getting older and maturing. Yay. But that's every issue, so. Let's see. I read... What else did I read? Ooh, I read Stumptown. Did I talk about Stumptown already, though?
You talked about number one, I think.
Number two is out, and it's basically the same, not the same thing, but like it's just continuing the story that happened in number one, except for there's a, not even a twist, like there's a, not a shock ending, there's an ending, it's supposed to be big, it's a big cliffhanger ending, so we'll see what issue three is all about. And those are the only books that are new, that are like ongoing books that I'm getting. Everything else is old. But mostly, I've been at work, so I haven't read a lot of comics. I read a couple of novels and played a lot of video games as of late.
Any new games? Or are they the same?
No, like, because I don't buy new games usually because they take, because that's $60 a pop. And so I like to wait like a couple of months for them to drop. A lot of games will drop almost half price after like a couple of months, really. So you can get...
So it's like DVDs?
Pretty much, yeah. Like they come out at $60. Like the biggest games will stay $60 for like a year or 2 years. Like some of the biggest ones. But other titles that are right below that top tier of game, will stay $60 for a little while, but then immediately drop price. Or then, during the summertime, at least for computer games, there's these big giant sales where you can get a bunch of really good games for like 75-80% off. So I buy a lot of games. Like, usually, during the summertime, I buy like 7 or 8 games, just hold on to them, and kind of play them throughout the rest of the year. Like, I buy my video games in big bunches, and then like all at once, and then I'll play those.
That Steam thing?
Stream? Yeah, on Steam. Yeah, big Steam
sale. The bundles.
Yep, so you'll get like 20 games, and enough for me for the next year.
Gamefly.
Gamefly, you rent them?
Yeah, just rent them. And then if I like them, I keep them for a long time, and then they usually tell me I can keep it for a certain cheap price, and then I'll keep them.
you've had it, get enough for it.
Yeah.
No one else wants it at this point, so you might just keep it.
That's what happens.
Gamefly is a decent service. It just seemed not too pricey, but
$20 a month, I get 2 games.
It's not bad, I guess.
I don't mind it. Because I'll play them eventually. I mean, I don't get to play them like, a lot, but I'll play them eventually enough.
Oh, the past couple of months, let's see, I study for school, then I'm in class and I'll study, and then I go to work. And because of the extraordinary incompetence of people in charge, we are incredibly understaffed, and they keep taking in work from certain companies that they not break from certain accounts that they don't need to take in or to take in under like the requirements which they're given to us, and so we're super swamped. And then recently, just this past, I think on Thursday, one of our coworkers just hurt him, and so he couldn't come in to work for the next week. So it's totally over.
He's playing too many video games.
But it didn't work. He's fine. He's probably going to play disc golf this weekend or whatever. The artwork. Like for the... So, this is the busiest we've been in 5 years. And he's just a whiner and didn't want to work. So
busy is good, though. It's better to be busy than not busy. I prefer that.
No, be busy than not busy. But
it sucks because of the extra hours, but
yeah, and because like you got to do more stuff. Like I don't understand. There's physically only so much that can be done in a day. Like not even in my hands at a certain point in time. Like when the machines run, and you can't actually go anywhere. They go as fast as kind of go. So whenever you lose a person, like it makes everything go that much slower. But they didn't. So I go to work, and when I come home, I eat and go to sleep. And when I don't, I play video games. Because
I do the same thing, except I read comics instead of the video games.
Because you don't have any time to throw in another. You have 2 million comics a month you have to read. You don't have time
to throw
another thing.
I got a couple more that I want to talk about. Speaking of, I read Freelancers number 1 from Boom. And that was $1. Like, try it. And had a lot of the DC body doubles feel to it. And I liked it. I liked it enough to add it to my pull list. So Boom was successful in drawing me into this story. That was by Felipe Smith, I guess. And
it's created by Felipe Smith.
And Matt Gargnon, and written by Ian Brill. That's kind of a weird thing, is the guys who created it didn't write it.
It's also really weird because Felipe did the backup story. Or the creators did the backup story, but not the main story.
That is weird. And I don't... You probably like the backup more. I like the front story more.
Yeah, the backup story was way better.
Nah, I don't agree with that.
Well, you didn't like it because you don't like Felipe's manga-esque style.
I didn't like the art at all there.
Oh, it's that devil stuff?
they don't believe in God.
I wish Felipe had done the whole book because I like his
art. I wish that Joshua Covey would have done the whole book. And I have more power because I buy single issues.
Give me what I want,
damn it. Give me what I want, damn it. He'll buy the trade. He'll never know. But, yeah, that was fun. I liked it. I thought the story was consistent in both stories. And Evil Ernie, I'm still liking. That's another one that made my pull list recently because I tried it. I like this shit. It's like a ghostwriter, but Evil Ernie, and he's got a funny button that talks to him.
Who's publishing that now?
Dynamite. And it's written by Jesse Blaze Snyder, Twisted Sister's son.
Ooh. Did you read any of the pulp stuff from Dynamite? Now that you bring that up?
No, but you know what? DCBS is fucking awesome because the masks they gave me for free.
Yeah, I get it. I saw that.
Motherfucker! I didn't even order that. And I was
almost bought it. Bought it, and I'm glad I didn't because I'm looking at my list and I'm like, did I fucking buy that?
Yeah, and I was like, because that was the one I was asking on Twitter like last week. I was like, did anybody buy masks? Did you like it? And there was people say, yeah, it's pretty good. And so I was like, should I wait? Because on some of those, I'll just wait till they go digitally down $1.99, you know, because Dynamite will come out $3.99. There's no way in hell I'm going to spend $3.99.
They had a sale 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but when they go down to it.
No, a dollar's like 99 cents sale.
Yeah, for probably stuff I already have.
Oh, well, I bought the whole spider one. I don't know if you didn't.
Yeah, I have. I buy the spider monthly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't.
Where that sale? Comixology? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
I read issue one, man. I love the spider.
Well, I like that guy that writes it. He was writing the.
David Liss.
Yeah, he was writing the Black Panther in New York. So I like that guy's work. At least everything that he's done, I've liked.
I love this, man. This is. It's a pretty good story. I mean, I've never heard of the spider before. Like, I didn't read a lot of that pulp stuff, you know, when it was coming out years ago. But I liked it. It had Richard Wentworth's character. He's a war vet. And everybody's a wealthy industrialist, I guess. That was like a major thing all the time for you to be wealthy industrialist. And you get to make shit all the time. And he did special forces or something, and he came back, and now he's taking out bad guys. But he doesn't take out bad guys by punching them and tying them up. He shoots them in the face.
In the face.
A lot of shooting in the face in this. Like, they even killed children in this.
Oh. Did he shoot him in the face?
Dark. But he was getting ready to. There was a bad cop that was getting ready to, like, they zombified this kid, and they were going to... And the cop was really ready to just shoot this kid right in the head, and he stopped him.
Why?
It's a dark story. I don't know. I just would have said shoot the kid. He's a zombie. Can't let it spread.
Absolutely.
You got to stop it. But, you know, don't shoot my iPhone. That's when I say, hey, wait a minute. You can save it. Don't do it. But it's good. The art is good. It's by Colton. And it looks him in the city, you know, with the guns, the cape, and he's basically wearing a suit with the hat. I don't know how the hat stays on, but
magic.
It's magic, I know.
Back then, they all wore hats.
Yeah, well, the hats had the magic Asgardian
glue
enchantments that kept the hats on their heads, no matter what.
There's a scene in Masks. Was it Masks? Yeah. Where the shadow's jumping down and his hat like kind of lifts off his head. But then it lands on his head.
Yeah. It's enchantments. It has to come back to the head of the person that it enchanted. It's just the way it is. It's cool.
And I read Stormwatch 14. I didn't read 15.
I read 15 too.
Because that one just came out. But yeah. I like that series. It's like I read an issue and I really liked it. Like they had that building of sinners, which I really freaking loved in the issue before. Like mm-hmm. it was like a building and everybody that lived on each floor was like, they were like horrible people. It was like,
I'm not in that building.
That was awesome, but it only lasted one issue. And then I got into the other story and it seemed a little brisk. Number 14. And I haven't read 15, but I think I know where they're kind of going with it.
Yep. It kind of, I keep breaking up with Stormwatch and then I keep getting back together with it. I keep saying I'm done. Like, not that I didn't like it, but I just keep saying, I mean, I don't rush to read it. So maybe I should just let it go for a while. And then I see something like Demon the Intriguing is going to be in it and Intriguing the Demon. And I'm like,
they link the two books. So yeah. The Demon Knights are Stormwatch. They're like the Stormwatch of the past.
Exactly. Yeah. And now they're doing that thing with the Shadow Lords. That story has been going on for the last, throughout the book and since issue one. So they're kind of bringing that to a head now.
Yeah, I'll probably read that one today just because I got my shipment yesterday. And Aquaman number 14, which we tried to talk about last night.
We tried to talk about all those books yesterday. Just Stormwatch and that. We tried to talk about both of those books.
He went pee-pee one time, and we tried to get it in, and it just didn't work out. Because he came back too fast.
He did.
Pee in the cup.
That's what we told him.
I told him pee in the bottle. He got empty bottles all around you.
He was spilling beer all over his keyboard last night. He's like, damn, I spilled beer on my monitor and my keyboard.
That is not good. And blamed us for that.
That's a damn shame.
I don't know.
But this leads to Throne of Atlantis, and it kind of tied in with Justice League, and I really freaking enjoyed it because Black Manta's trying to getting recruited by Suicide Squad. That was cool as shit. And then they had the conversation with Ocean Master and Aquaman, which I enjoyed. The only piece that, man, maybe I missed this shit, but is Volko alive? I thought he died.
I thought he died.
Did he appear in this issue, or what the fuck?
I thought it was a flashback. It was when the beginning, remember when he said he went to find Arthur, he thought he was dead, and he didn't know where he was, and he had feared he was dead, and then he told Arthur that he when he was dying, he said that when he heard about him, his neighbors or the people that actually did believe him that he was from Atlantis, they told him about this boy he was under that could breathe underwater, and as soon as he heard that, he went in search of him. That was a flashback, I think.
If it was a flashback, it makes sense. But the piece that didn't make sense is it didn't have a bubble above it. It just said Norway.
Yeah, it said
Norway, the past, or something. And it threw me for a loop because, man, I got to go dig my other issue, but I could have sworn he died.
He did. So if I remember right, he did die.
I read a lot of comics, but I remember him to be dead. I was like, damn, why did they kill him? They just introduced him. Phantom Stranger, I'm still enjoying a lot. I've heard people complain that because now he has a family, they don't like Phantom Stranger with the family. But I think it's pretty cool. I think it's like Solar. You know, like you have an infinite being with all this power that's unimaginable, and you have to somehow ground them. And in Solar, they grounded him with Gail. I think her name was Gail. But in this book, he has a family. He's got two boys, I believe, and a wife. And Trigon's son comes to talk to him because he betrayed Raven to Trigon. He's kind of saying, don't fuck with the demons anymore, or I'll come after your family. But I enjoyed it. And at the end, There's a shop owner in the restaurant that Raven was in, and they think Raven's dead, and the investigator's Jim Corrigan, so we know we're going to get some Spectre. So that's awesome. I love the art in there, too, with Brent Anderson and Philip Tan doing the inks. It's really cool stuff. And Grim Fairy Tales Robin Hood number 2. I like this book. This is another one I picked up off the shelf, but when you do that, you risk the... I can't find number 3 now, unless I order it online and...
Take it off the shelf.
I thought you ordered all that stuff.
No, I did. I've been cutting back, so the only thing I get like is Fly, Irresistible, and Grim Fairy Tales, and then the Godstorm ones, which are all over the fucking place. But
you
I
still
was
go to comic
I,
shop.
I wasn't getting. Yeah, I do. I get most of my DC at the comic shop, like all my Batman, Green Lantern, and Superman. I get at the comic shop, and I get True Blood and the old. I get Hawkeye and a couple of Marvels, but I've moved all my Marvels, the ones that I do get, over to DC, because it's so fucking expensive. $3.99 is just a lot.
You got that right.
And the double shipping is, you know, $8 a month. And
that
they double ship everything, so I've just...
I say it, Marvel. I share digital codes. I don't give a shit. We interchange digital codes. I'm sorry. Somebody bought it.
Also, you like you buy it and then you trade the code.
Right, we trade digital codes for Marvel. Say,
I bought Thor, and somebody bought Avengers. I'll trade you.
Yeah,
it's like trading comics.
Exactly.
Smart way to go.
And I don't feel bad about it either.
That's the best way to go.
I do not feel bad about it.
I don't.
You have a group of at least 6 people.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I don't think so, but you
because have a group Marvel of... does.
Do they really? Because
yes,
they use those numbers though.
It's one use, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying they take
so what
those
are they,
tallies.
What are they carrying?
They take those tallies of basically you buy one book, but they count it as you bought two. When they do the numbers, you know, when they count those numbers of what those books sold.
No, they don't. Not
no, they count the tallies. They do
thought,
count the
I
tallies.
I thought those numbers were just physical copies, not digital.
Yeah, that's Diamond.
They're digital, too. Not the ones you're talking about where they posted how much the book sold.
Oh, you
at
mean
the
just
comic shop.
Internally?
Internally, they count those as for their digital stuff that you never see. The digital numbers that they use that they never put out, they count those.
But they, But they would prefer it if everyone was buying two copies. It's the same thing with everything. It's like with movies and books. Like, people don't, like entertainment industry doesn't want you, like, buying a book and then lending it to a friend. Like, they actually, like, whenever, like, the Nook and the Kindle first came out with, like, the book lending feature, most of the publishers were like, no way. Even though it deleted the book off of your device and put it on someone else's device, so it's only one book. They wanted everyone who had any interest in it to buy it. Like, it's... They despise the idea that people share things.
But yet, and still, they're pretty much two-faced, because yet and still, there are people where they... who work for Marvel who do little things to generate attention for the Twitters and stuff, where they give away digital copies. They give away digital codes.
Yeah. That's marketing.
Yeah, it's marketing. So they say they don't like it, but then at the same time, they use it when they want to. So but
if they're looking at it as a sale, so they're forcing you to buy the digital copy, then once you own it, it's up to you should be able to do what you want with it, right?
Yeah.
Should and, be. But
that, yeah. I know Suit Guy would want us to all buy, you know. But Suit Guy is the same idiot that tells us that you that's doing... 2 times a month and charging $4 is a good thing.
But they also they also feel that that you're buying a license to read it. You're not actually buying the, like, you know, you're just buying the ability to read it. You're not buying the, like, ownership of that particular file yourself. So
right.
I mean, and technically you are, because if you read all the Eula shits, you'll know nothing.
Yep, pretty much. pretty much. But I still say to Marvel, you can kiss my ass.
Cause... Absolutely.
Well, Marvel's doing it. Why they're the ones who are bundling it, right? So that mm-hmm. and they're doing it to justify now. The price, right?
They only yes. It only lasts because I mean, DC did it for only what did they do it for seven?
Justice League for a while, right?
They did it for all. They did they did the DC 52 bundle for what, seven issues or was it longer? Mike, you remember?
Mike's asleep.
It was Justice League and Batman and only their big books.
No, but they did a DC 52 bundle where you could buy it as a group.
You could
buy all 52 issues as a bundle. How long did they do that?
Through who? Comixology?
No, through DCBS.
That went for 5 months, I think.
I thought it was a little longer than that.
Maybe it was 8 months. It was a lot. It was a lot.
Right, and then they stopped. And I think Marvel's doing their bundle also, but this is not. I don't think it's going to last any longer than maybe the same amount of months as DC did it, and no more. I don't see them lasting a year with
the this. Best bundle is the Valiant bundle because it's not as much.
Right.
And the quality of what you're getting is amazing.
But their titles are, it's only five titles.
Mm-hmm.
So you pretty much, they can do something like that. But if they had 50-something titles or 40-something titles, that would be out the window.
If you're a fan of continuity, Valiant's where to go. Because it's
easy to follow.
Yeah, it's easy to follow. And each book stands alone, but you could still get bigger pictures if you're reading everything. That's good stuff.
Yeah. With Marvel, if they take away the digital, comics along with when you buy the $4 books, boy, they would see me drop in a lot of stuff that I buy from Marvel. That shit would stop. All those issues would get to cut.
Life. If you're not using the codes anyway.
No, but I mean, if they stop giving you the codes,
then you're spending more for less.
Yeah, and I would stop buying a lot of issues because they don't drop in a dollar. Like everybody else, almost every other company, they at least drop a dollar after a month. Marvel doesn't do that. They don't do that. And it's not better than anything else. It's so I'm out when they start doing that. They can have it.
The other one that I just wanted to mention real quick, because Daryl said to read it, we didn't get to talk about it, was Red Robin.
It's a DC Noise Challenge.
Which one?
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number
14. Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty interesting, because they came back from that adventure with Starfire. And Superman's kind of like waiting for him in space, and you think he's there to arrest him because they are wanted, I guess. I don't know what they're really wanted for. I have a hard
time. They had killed those.
Except for that whole town of.
Well, they killed that guy. Remember the fat? The woman who was like mutated fat, and she took that hospital?
Yeah, but she was evil.
Yeah, but he still killed her.
Yeah.
Like, they would still want you in for questioning. I don't care if they're evil or not. You'd still have to go to court for that.
Yeah, but he's there waiting for him in space, and I think he just, for the most part, wanted to talk to Starfire about Hellspot. Like,
well, I like how he said, you know, you three are not really that important. Like,
there are other people. You guys are so insignificant. It's like shooting an arrow. They're shooting arrows at him and blasting him, and he's like,
what? They're thinking that he knew someday that they would send the big leagues to come take them down. And basically, Superman was like, nobody's thinking about you, really. Like, you're going after bad guys that are really bad. So, no innocent bystanders haven't been killed. So, you're not really important.
Yeah, and the Red Hood had these guns that he acquired in space. And Superman just looked and he said, you know, you have those things on safety. He's like, you guys are worthless.
They're like running around the store. They're like the people that are running around the store thinking they're being followed. And actually, in actuality, the person just wants to ask them, do you need help? like really.
Yeah. That's kind of how it felt. But then the interesting part of the story is when they went on the space adventure, and you know, Starfire was fighting alongside her sister and her team to free her people from these weird. That alien race, were they called the, I can't remember, the Blith, the Blythe? The Blythe seemed to, like, absorb people or, like, hatch their eggs in them or something. I don't know what.
Yeah, they do work that way or something like that.
That's not fun.
Yeah, it's like an alien, because they're more sophisticated, so they, like, breed inside of an alien race.
What was the second in command of her crew? The name of that group, that race has been in DC for a while. Can't remember the name of it.
Dominators.
Right, and you had a Dominator who's... I love the end part where she goes to hug him, and Dominators hate...
Like, oh, that was so good, because
it
he's
brings
like...
them pain when they have any affection or something. It's really
kind of emotion. Pain. Yeah, it's like, they want
to... feel during Christmas.
Yeah, and it's like, get off my fucking ship. He's like, he's going to sacrifice his life for Starfire's people. Right. And he, like, sends the ship, and he's like, happy to see the people leave.
Because... It was such a Kirk moment, a fucking Kirk moment to me, as a Trek guy. Like, he said, I will endure this pain of a hug, because I care, out of everybody in the universe, this is the only person that I really actually care about.
Yeah, so that was really good, but they had a civilian with them. Because
his date. It was Jason Todd's date.
She's on a date. She's a flight attendant. So she went on the space adventure. They come back from the space adventure, and fucking Joker with no face is there.
Well, they were about to have some sexy time.
Oh, they did have sexy time.
That's right. He had to take a shower.
No, they had sexy time, and he was showering after the fact.
I thought he told her, she said to him to go take a shower first, because they'd been fighting.
But you probably would notice the sexy time better than I would, because that's
She told him to go take a shower, because in real life you can't be funky and just be it don't work like that on TV. In TV they do that doesn't work in real life. You gotta take a shower first. But then he gets ready to come out, and then he realizes something's wrong, which is Batman training.
Yeah, because he's like, "What the hell? Can I have a towel?" He's like, "I need a towel or something." To dry off, and he goes in the next room, and he has a flashback of the Joker killing his mom, and
so they're basically saying he killed his mom. Like, they straight up are saying it now. Before I thought maybe it was just Joker being crazy, but now he's physically saying he put her in the same exact position that he put his mother in.
Then the Joker frames him, like. He calls the police at the same time that he's holding the girl, so they think he killed the girl.
Right.
And that's a pretty good story. I liked it. It's well done. Good space adventure too. That was a good like 3-issue arc. So you guys want to jump into some TV or movies or? Anybody got anything? I got one movie I'd like to talk about.
Oh.
I saw Lincoln. I haven't seen a hell of a lot of movies because, you know, since we got Harley, we just haven't been leaving as much. But I did see Lincoln, and I really, really...
How many vampires did he kill?
He didn't kill no vampires.
What? How about zombies?
This is about the 13th Amendment, right?
Huh?
It was just about that time period. It really didn't focus on the war.
What are you talking about?
It was good. It was really good.
Did he have that axe where he could knock trees down with like one hit?
No.
Was it gory?
Isn't that Paul Bunyan?
Was it gory?
No. Yeah, was it gory?
Did he cut off heads? Appendages from the war they saw. Like,
did he get his face blowed up?
No.
What? Was it cool when he came back to life?
This was based on a true story, except it's...
Yeah, when he came back, when he got shot, did he come...
He got shot in the head.
Because of the virus? Because he got infected by the zombie?
Did he kill him? That virus, the zombie one was terrible, dude. I don't care what you
said. But it was real life.
No.
It was based on real events. That's why he died, because they had to kill him
That's why he's famous.
Yeah, they had to kill him. He stopped the zombie apocalypse. It was him. That was the greatest thing
ever. I'll just say the acting was really good.
No. Whatever. You say so.
Well, it's such a good movie. I went and did research, too, to find out a little bit more facts.
And what did you find out?
I found out that the Stevenson guy was a really interesting dude. That's what I found out.
Hmm.
He was a white guy, but yet he had a lover that was, I guess you could say, was his slave, but I don't know if he treated her like a slave or not, but that was his woman. But
let's get this straight. He did, because she's a slave and didn't have any free will to do what she wanted to do in the situation. So no matter how much affection he claimed to have for her, in all of those situations in like in this time period, like
it still she's a slave.
But at the same time, he did a lot like for the underground. They didn't show this in the movie, but for getting slaves into Canada and stuff. I mean, that's what that guy did. He tried to. He was one of the only white people to say, "I want to be buried in a cemetery where there's no discrimination." That's another thing.
Yeah, I got that. I
found interesting. So
I got that.
I think what I got out of the movie was two things. I didn't really know shit about this guy. You know, everybody knows Lincoln. You know, because you learn in history books kind of what he did, and then you could do your own research to find out more facts. But this guy here really interested me, and he was played by Tommy Lee Jones, and I thought he did a really, really good job. The other thing that interests me is, and maybe it's just me, but and I don't know if this part is true. I'd have to do more research to find out, but it seemed like the Republicans are more like Democrats and Democrats are more like Republicans.
Oh, they were.
Yeah.
It seems like
it totally switched.
And it did. Totally switched.
What the fuck happened to the Republicans?
It did.
If you know me, I love comics so much. I fucking don't pay attention to news. But this movie, like, got me interested in wanting to learn more. So I think that's a good thing, right?
That's always a good thing.
When you're infatuated by a movie and you want to kind of know more about the truth, then, you know, I found it fascinating that that one character. And then I also found it fascinating that the political parties just totally fucking switched. I mean, the Democrats were, like, horrible at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... And then the other thing I found really interesting is these fuckers, when they went to do a job in the house, they did a job. It didn't last for fucking 9 months.
No.
They presented and they discussed, but when that thing went to the office, when they finally got it to go, it was decided. I mean, they voted and bang. It seems like when they vote now, we have all these... stays
bureaucracy, that's what he created, bureaucracy, and that kills 9 times out of 10. It makes things 10 times harder to get anything done, anything, even from getting a traffic light put up.
The other thing that interests me, and this one I'd have to dig more into because I didn't get enough time to research it, but the one thing I liked about the movie, whether it's true or not, is I like the fact that Lincoln... The way they portrayed him here is that he kind of knew the war was going to end, but he still pushed for the amendment because I like leaders that have two courses or two paths or two solutions because they don't know which one's going to pan out first. And he kind of, this movie portrayed it like he had two decisions. He could have went one way and say to the Democrats, "Oh, the war's ending, so fuck this bill." But he went through, like, he pretended that he didn't know certain things were going on, and the bill passed. Or, you know, at least the bill to go to the House when they wanted to delay it. So, yeah, those are the parts I liked about the movie. And Tommy Lee Jones was a good actor. And so was the guy that played played Abe Lincoln.
I think the only things I don't like about when they do historic movies about slavery, I rather they not even bother if they're not going to be honest, is when they put in, there was no romance during slavery. That take that out. Now, the woman who's there, who's trapped as a slave, sometimes she might say to this guy who is basically she is owned by this guy, I could have a better life for me and my kids if I'm with him.
But historically, he left her everything. I mean, he left her.
Right, but I'm saying, of course, it's not like it was free will where she can, you meet him on a, you meet somewhere at a restaurant, they get to know each other.
Yes, I agree that's wrong. But what I appreciate is that he fought for their rights.
I got that. It's legally, I'm not arguing with you on that. The things he did because he didn't have to. He could have just wrote it out and did the people that did the things they did to try to end slavery or to get slaves to a place where they could be or have as many freedoms as they could. They didn't have to. They broke laws to do it, so they didn't have to do it. So I appreciate that.
And he didn't have to think when people to Canada.
Right. I just hate when directors who want to do movies, they want to romanticize.
I don't think they romanticized it because I think they portrayed him as an asshole.
I haven't seen it, so I can't argue. I'm just talking about.
I think you need to see it to see.
I am going to see it when it comes out on DVD. To see
what you guys think, but.
But I mean, I've watched so many, you know, movies and things on it, and I've always disappointed how they tried to gloss over or make it that it was a romantic thing because it wasn't a choice. That was the best choice I could make for me and these kids that I have now because this man has been sleeping with me. And if I say no, I could be killed type of choice. And that's just, and I know people don't like to hear you talk about that. They don't like to see it, especially if they're not people of color. They don't like to talk about it. They don't like to see it. But I'd rather they just be honest and just say it. Like Captain America and Avengers. You don't have to do the Hydra thing. You could just say, kids should know what Nazis really wanted to do. You shouldn't have to make it that it's a Hydra. And, you know, that was just the Hydra section. Like the kid, the black kids running with the white kids at the end with the shield. And then they don't want to get into when they had the different people in the army. It was segregated. Like they should say it. They don't have to make a whole movie about it, but these kids are growing up now thinking that it was like that. Like they look at these TV shows and movies and they fall into this false self of, they just really think that it was like that, that slavery wasn't really like that, like it wasn't really racist back then.
Well, the way I approach every movie is, I have, even the ones that say they're true, even Mozart's Sister, I treat all of them that are, they say they're true as fiction, okay?
Right.
With a loose tie to the truth.
Yeah.
You're educated enough.
And then what I do is I take aspects of that and I start to do my own research.
Because, Mike, you're an educated person and you're an adult. Like, but with these kids now, you look at the things that the things that you see them say, you know, they post on things or they write or they say on, you know, different shows or whatever when they're talking to them. Like, there are people that think that the Twilight is the first time a werewolf, that character was written. And that's serious. Like, there are kids out there that really think that that's when the first time that these characters were written. They don't know about the previous literature.
They don't know about Teen Wolf?
No, they don't know about any of that
Lon
stuff.
Chaney?
Well, they know about the new Teen Wolf.
Right. Right. So they think
MTV
that
Teen Wolf.
Yeah. Like, and we would come up thinking that too. It's just that when we came up, you had to know certain things. We were told, you know, you were pretty much told certain things.
I think my mom always said wrong things. What you...
Well, we were, of course, we were.
Like, people don't know. Like, I hate Abraham Lincoln.
I do know that.
Yes.
And then when I mentioned it, I knew it was going to cause some. I can already hear you. Like, even though you're not making a lot of noise, I could. You know, you're tightening up. I could. There's like, tension. I hear.
Because Abraham Lincoln doesn't like black people and didn't give a fuck. Like, it originally started out as a political strategy because, like, it was going to help with the British and all that kind of stuff. And whatever. But, like, he has, like, there's a bunch of writings from Abraham Lincoln himself. It's like straight up said that, like, he'd be fine if slavery was kept intact, if it kept the Union together. Like, his first goal was to keep the Union together, right. And the whole emancipation shit came on afterwards. Yeah, it's a complete political move, and everyone talks about it, like the great emancipator. This and Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Well, fuck nah, he actually didn't free the slaves. Like
maybe,
that shit.
Maybe
isn't
this
what happened.
Didn't so much focus on that, Micah, but in my opinion, it focused on that he was using it as a strategy. In my opinion.
It might come out when you actually watch the movie that they did that, but when you watch the way that it was promoted, it's promoted as his whole point of being in office was to end slavery.
And that's not what I got out of the. Well, I didn't watch any promotion. I didn't even know this movie was fucking coming out. My nephew mentioned it, and I think it was the only movie. We like to go to the early feature. I'm talking like 10 a.m. feature. Like
yeah, I like that too.
Early
that's when I go to movies.
Early bird specials and like
nobody, I hate people.
Nobody's there, and we like to go to have four or five seats, you know, around us, and so that's the movie we go to. And we had you know to do stuff in the afternoon, so I was like, that's the earliest. Let's go check it out. I'm interested in it. There was a couple scenes in the Abraham Lincoln that made me think. It was. I guess I could say it could go either way. There was one scene in there where he like, I don't really know your people, and I don't give a shit. When he was talking to one of the ladies there, and then there was another scene that kind of, I thought glorified it, like Mike is saying. So I kind of left that with the neutral. Where I got a lot was from the Stevenson guy, and I don't know. Like, I still want to find out more because what I've only covered is undercovered the surface. I also found that up until like 1960 in the textbooks, that Stevenson guy was portrayed like totally different. Like, so I almost want to go back and find out how he was portrayed back then in history books, because why would it change? You know. So there's just a lot. Complications with that, but at the same time, the guy did. I guess I could respect that he did feel some kind of equality because he said, "I want to be buried in a cemetery with my brothers or with who I believe are equal." And he did in the house do something that was really controversial, where he said they weren't equal. But in this movie, they portrayed it like he did that to achieve a goal that. He needed to have happen.
Well, that I mean, you see that in real life where you see politicians who will publicly say how much they hate gay people, and then they will have a child who is gay or a cousin or whatever, and they actually treat that child or person with love. That happens all the time.
Or not.
There are times that they hate them so much that they will disown
them
or whatever. But I'm saying you have that. You have you people are not all, you know, that you have different facets of how people are. And there are even people that who are gay. And will, you know, keep that a secret and they will promote how much they hate gay people. You know, and you find that out, too. Like that happened all through history. You see a lot of that, or people that were, you know, how much they hate whatever group. It's always easy to hate a group until you have to do something involving with the group, or you come in contact with people You know, that like even they can hate or put out legislation where they hate people of color, but then their maid, the maid that they had, or the, you know, is a person of color who raised them and practically was a mother to them. And they can, and in their mind, they'll tell themselves, I'm not a bad person. You know, even, and I treated her good. I bought her, you know, you'll find out that they, when she died, you know, while she, when she got too old to work, that he would, you know, he took care of her till she died, paid hospital bills and all that. That was that one person, but he's done more damage to the world because he promotes hateful thought and puts out legislation that is very harmful to people of color. But in his mind, he's telling himself, I'm not a bad person. No one thinks they're bad.
Yeah. But as a movie, I enjoyed it. And I think any movie that sparks your interest, I mean, this type of movie that sparks your interest in uncovering more facts for yourself is a good movie.
Yeah. If it inspires you to actually find out facts, that's always a good thing. I hope more people, I hope it did that for a lot of people. I hope.
I'm also interested to see where the Republicans and Democrats changed in history. Like, what year did that happen?
It's 1900s, somewhere in there.
That's weird.
It's actually, well, I mean, it's a slow, it's not.
Yeah, it wasn't a fast thing.
It was not a fast thing, and it's not actually that, like, super dramatic when you look at it and how things were. Because a lot of the ideals, like, if you look at Andrew Jackson's Democratic idea, like, it was very much, like, granted, it was a bullshit notion, but it was all about, like, common people or so forth, and equalizing things. And the Republicans were not, like, they was like they were on the other side of that. They wanted, like, you know, different sorts, like, less interference and so forth in the way things were going. But, like, the difference is the constituencies changed, and you really didn't see, like, the massive flip until, like, was, like, FDR and such. And so when FDR comes into power and like, inputs a lot of, like, social welfare changes in, that's when, like, the parties do, like, that's when the parties do, like, the major, major flip.
FDR time period?
Yeah.
There's a movie with that coming out, too. FDR.
An FDR movie?
With Bill Murray, I think.
No, wait, what? I thought he was doing a movie about, I didn't think it was FDR, I thought he was doing another old person.
He's doing FDR or Theodore Roosevelt, but I don't remember which one, but I know he's doing one of them. And the other one that I'm really interested but didn't get released here in Colorado Springs for whatever reason is the Alfred Hitchcock movie.
I want to see that.
So what? So that's the one with De Niro, not De Niro, Hopkins.
Hopkins and Hopkins, yeah. Yeah, another big actress, the Angela.
Did you see the HBO? Was it HBO movie
of Alfred Hitchcock?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know they had one.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
I'm pretty certain it's HBO. Or Showtime. One of those cable channels has a Hitchcock. But it's less about Hitchcock. It's more about what's her face, the lady that was in his movies, in
the one that was in the Psycho.
I think it's more about her than about Hitchcock himself.
Oh, okay. I don't even remember.
I didn't see the whole thing. I was at someone's house and they were watching it. Like, it was on the TV while they were there. So, look for it. Or, you know what? I could look for it. Find the name of it. That's possible for me to do. Hold on. Let's find this out. HBO Hitchcock.
Spartacus is starting back up on Stars.
They're ending it, right?
Yeah, it's the last season. And
it's an expensive show.
we've been watching a lot of the old ones, and man, that's just such a good show. I mean, it is fucking awesome.
They ran it for as long as they could, because that's an expensive...
Are you guys watching Walking Dead? I mean, not Walking Dead, American Horror Story.
I am. I'm just two episodes behind.
I'm not watching it, because I don't have cable, and I forgot to go get that one.
It is so good this season.
There's 50 million storylines they've added this season. Like, they said
is so fucking complex.
They said no to... They didn't say no to any idea suggestion. They said go with it.
They turned Cromwell into, like, a Nazi from...
Yeah.
And they had, like, an Anne Frank episode. Oh, my God.
You got a demon. You got...
The one nun is possessed by a demon, and then there's...
Crazy Nazi scientist.
They introduced death, at least what I think is death. The woman that used to be in 6 Feet Under, the mom. I don't know if you guys watch 6 Feet Under, but
I did.
She's playing like a death angel. It's like craziness, man.
You got a serial killer.
Played the nanny, right?
Which one that plays what?
The nanny. She played the nanny, right, in the first season.
Did she? Oh, she did! No shit! That's right!
They use a lot of the same actors.
Yeah, they're using the same actors.
I didn't recognize it, but she was the nanny in that. Damn!
Like how you recognize her from...
6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under.
Yeah, she was the nanny with the weird eyes. That's right. Oh, man.
Okay, hold on. 1 second. Quick pause. It's called The Girl. What an awful title. The HBO Hitchcock thing.
Ah.
Starring Toby Jones and Sienna Miller. And it's
girl,
about...
Isn't that the one with Macaulay Culkin and...
No, that's My Girl.
Some girl? Oh.
That's My Girl. That's it's a different movie.
What's this one called? About Some Girl?
The Girl. What an atrocious... Why would you do that? You want no one to watch your movie ever. That's just the point.
Pretty much.
It should have said Psycho Girl or something.
There you go.
No, it's about
Zombie Girl.
It should have said Stripper Girl by zombies. I would have watched it.
And Daryl would have tuned in.
No, it's about the girl from The Birds.
Ah, that's a good one, too. I'm a fan of Alfred Hitchcock, so that's why I want to watch that movie. Because I know absolutely nothing about the man. Like, so I want to watch the movie and then do the same thing.
It was the HBO film. Research?
And then do my research.
I see.
The HBO film, The Girl.
Backwards, but I guess for somebody who reads a gazillion comics, it makes sense in somebody's mind.
I mean, it makes sense to go see the movie and then go, whatever. I'm going to sneeze. Oh.
Anybody else watch any movies?
Oh, yeah. I watched James Bond like 9 years ago.
Huh?
9 years ago.
Oh, Skyfall.
Oh.
We haven't talked. We haven't been on the show in forever.
Well, what do you think of that one?
I really liked it. It doesn't make a lick of fucking sense, though. But it doesn't matter. It's a James Bond movie, so like.
How does it compare to the other two that came out with that actor?
Because
I like Casino Royale a lot.
It's much better than Quantum of Solace. Mm. I prefer some of the action sequences in this to anything that was in Claire's Home. Anything that was in Casino Royale, but the plot just doesn't hold up for anything. Like, you put a second of thought into it, and the entire plot of the movie just falls apart. Just...
Like Quantum of the Solace, which I guess I'm the only one that still liked. Because I like him. He's my favorite Bond, actually.
No, I mean, it's... This is, I don't know, maybe it's not better. No, it's better than Quantum of Solace, because the ending of Quantum of Solace also doesn't make any sense. But Skyfall is like you put a second of thought, it doesn't make it a terrible movie, but you put 1 second of thought into it, and it doesn't make any, like, the motivations of the main villain don't make any sense. Like, the main motivation makes sense, it's like a big revenge plot, but, like, why he does the things he does, like, to get... The reason he does them is to set up really awesome action sequences, right? Like, awesome things with the train. There's a couple of awesome sequences. Like, they get to this awesome, like, mansion fight thing. Like, those are all awesome. And so that's the reason why he does what he does. But, like, as far as being consistent in the story itself, like, like, I'm not going to spoil it, but, like, he does things in the movie, and it's all cool while you're doing it, and then you go, wait, he could have just done this, and it would have been a lot easier, and right. he could have accomplished all of his goals without, like, going through the super convoluted way of doing it. But, alas.
Yeah, it was like, why didn't you just put a bullet in Loki's brain in Avengers? That would have ended everything. Like, you, why didn't you just put a bullet in his brain?
It would be like if Loki, like, had the power to, like, kill all the Avengers very easily, mm-hmm. but decided instead of, like, just coming up and stabbing everyone, or stabbing them and shooting them and breaking the frost giants that smash everything really quickly, he shows up and is like, listen, you guys don't even know what's going to happen, but it's crazy. But I need you guys to do all this stuff. And then he just sits around waiting for them to, like, do things. And the whole time he could have been killing them. Then he goes, oh, yeah, now I'm going to kill you. But it's too late because you've already blown up stuff. Like, it's... It could have been done better. Like, it's a... Like, the plot twist they use is a really cool plot twist when there's actually a reason for it to happen, as opposed to what was in this movie where, like, it was just cool for the sake of being cool without any, like, thought into it. And it was kind of frustrating because you go, these guys got paid millions of dollars to figure this out, and they couldn't have found a better way to do this. It's like, oh, come on, guys. You can do better.
Well, they fought for water. I mean, the last... I mean, if you really looked at the premise of Quantum of the Solace, and I enjoyed it because it, you know, it had all the action I wanted, but if you look at... Overall, if you just look at it and go, this guy wanted to control the world's water.
Yeah.
You would, if you looked at that before you went to go see the movie, you'd be like, bullshit.
This guy wanted to kill people. Cool. Way to go. You could have done that. There's another way you could have done it. Like,
right.
But, you know, overall, though, I think it's watching. I enjoyed the movie. I just think that was dumb. So, let's see. I watched Skyfall. What else did I watch, movie-wise? Ish. Oh, somebody else talked. I gotta go to my Amazon queue and see what I watch.
That's what I'm trying to do now.
I only watch bad Keith movies, and I don't even want to talk about them anymore. My movie was bad too. Don't watch The Tall Man. That wasn't good. That was very painful to get through.
I did watch The Debt.
Which one?
The Debt. It's It's a movie they did in 2011. It had the Mossad agents. It had Jessica Chastain and Sam Worthington and Martin Sokas. They've been in a lot of other movies. If you see them, they've been in a lot of well done movies. But basically, they had to capture this. It's set in 1965, and they had to capture this basically this Nazi guy, and it just showed you how the mission went bad and they lied about it, how they lied about what really happened, and they were made heroes because of it, of that lie. And then years later the lie has a chance of being revealed, and decisions that the characters have to make in order to either keep the lie or let it just finally just come out. So I was surprised myself that I enjoyed it as much as I did.
What was it called again?
The Debt.
The Dead.
Debt.
The Debt.
The Debt. Okay.
Like, you owe me money.
D-E-B-T.
Because I was looking at The Dead and I said, this is fucking zombies. What the fuck? No, it doesn't make any sense. The Debt. What is he talking about?
You're waiting for the zombies to come in. What does the zombies do?
When is he going to say about the zombies?
There was these zombies.
And then there was zombies.
Helen Mirren was in it, actually. She played the older version of the characters.
Isn't Helen Mirren in that new Alfred Hitchcock movie, too?
She plays his wife.
She plays
in every movie now.
I love her as an actress.
She was awesome in that one Red. Was it called Red? Yeah.
I just read that. I just watched that again for the 100th time, like, last week.
I love that movie.
That's I can't turn it off if it's on. Yeah. I still do her. I don't care.
She's a beautiful, like, one of the most beautiful older women I've ever seen.
I do not care. Keep it in
your pants.
What pants?
Daryl don't wear pants on the weekend.
I don't wear pants on the weekend. I don't believe in that.
Unless he's going to White Castle. That's the only time he puts pants on.
And it's sweatpants. That's another one.
All right. Anything else?
TV-wise, I do, but not movie-wise. I haven't watched that many movies.
I watched one. I watched a few, but one interesting one. Hang on, let me... What's it called? Something about the end of the world.
The one with Steve Carell where he rides a bicycle?
Yeah, that's the one.
How was it? Until the end of the world, which is next week, we should make a movie about how boring our lives are. I don't know. I've only seen the trailer.
What is it called?
I have no idea.
Seeking a friend for the end of the world.
That's
right.
It.
That's right.
Yeah,
I kind of actually want to see it.
And Keira Knightley, is that who it is?
Yeah. That's who it is. 20 years younger than he is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. So it starts out that there's an asteroid heading to the Earth.
Of course.
And it's going to hit, I can't remember how many days, a certain number of days away. So everyone's like freaking out, trying to figure out what to do.
As they are wont to do.
And Steve Carell, shit, what was he trying to do? Oh.
Hang out?
Meet chicks?
It starts out, his wife leaves him because she's like, fuck this, I don't like you anyway, I'm out of here.
Nice.
That's one way to do it.
Heads off with her boyfriend. And so he decides to go find his childhood girlfriend, the only one his first love. And then he comes across Keira Knightley, who lives in his apartment. And they end up going on a road trip together to find this girl.
Do they fall in love instead?
What do you think?
Of course they fall in love instead.
It was good. I liked it.
Because the love that he's been searching for all his life, what he didn't realize was right around, right next to him the whole time.
Also, the love of his actual love of his life or whatever probably has shit to do in her life in the past 20-something years, but he was off with this woman and doesn't love him very much.
Right.
There's a funny scene in the movie where they go to like a restaurant, like a Chili's or whatever, Friendly's or whatever the hell it was. And the people inside are just like, they kept the restaurant open, but they're just like, it's just a big party. So they're like, fuck it, we're just having a party. Come on in.
Because the last thing I'm going to do is be at work when I know the world's about to end.
Yeah, they're just all drinking and doing drugs and...
Oh, that I do.
Sex.
I do that, yeah.
And partying in this restaurant because it's the end of the world. And who cares?
Smack your boss in the face.
It was good, though.
And then they're like, oh, we're not going to die. It passed us. That's a movie I want to see. You thought the world was going to end. Shit happened. And then...
Aftermath.
They were wrong, and it didn't end. And
you charged up your credit cards and everything.
Yeah, everybody has to deal with this shit afterwards. Like, what the fuck did you do? You pissed on your wife. You told her you hated her all your life. You told your kids you didn't love them. Just taking your money. You
emptied your bank account. You charged your credit cards.
Yeah, you smacked the boss. You said F you to your brother. You owed me $20 and you never paid me. F you. I hate you.
You want to see that movie?
Yeah, I want to see that movie. Like
the aftermath, and you look like an asshole and your whole life is ruined.
Yes. Naked on your front lawn.
Your neighbors slept together. Like all types of crazy shit happened. And then you have to deal with what happens now. What happens after that? They did a Family Guy episode like that where they thought the world was gonna end and all this crazy. He did all this crazy shit. He was like, "Why would I want to hang out with the kids if the end of the world is coming?" And then it didn't happen, and the kids were pissed the whole episode. And he's trying to make it up to the kids. Because the first place he went was to the bar. When they thought that everybody was going to die, he went to the bar and drank with his buddies and did crazy stuff. So I want to see that movie. Somebody make that movie. If you hear me now and you're a good movie director, make that movie. and I'll go see it.
I saw a good Keith movie.
Oh, good Lord. Is there such a thing as good Keith movie?
No. No.
Not that the movie was good, but it would be good for Keith to... It's one that Keith would recommend.
Don't give him any ideas. He listens to this show.
If it's some shit I don't want to watch, don't you put it out there for him to pick.
All right, I'll send it to him privately.
Oh, that's even better. We still get stuck with the damn movie we don't want to watch.
You ought to see the shit he gave us last time, last night.
Subtitles, of course, which means I can't do other shit French. While it's on.
No, this one is called Still Walking, is what he gave us last night.
Even the title is exciting.
Still Walking. In the honor of the hobbits. Still Walking. That's what attracted him to the title.
That is a movie that I swear, as much as people, every time I say it advertised, it's this one movie I just don't
know. When does that come out? When is that coming out?
December 17th, I think.
Next week.
Yeah, soon.
Oh, man. You see some singing dwarves.
Keith's all happy. He's all happy.
And that's like a multi-million, like that's a big thing. Yeah? That's something like a lot of geeky stuff, which I am one, would want to watch. And I know how other people feel when, like, people that don't like comics and any of that kind of stuff, when Avengers came out, and that's all you heard people talk about was Avengers and shit. I know how other people feel now with The Hobbit. Like, people start talking about The Hobbit, and all I hear is, wah, 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 wah. You shall not pass. Ha ha ha. Wah,
no, no, no. That's Lord of the Rings. That's not The Hobbit. That's different.
I know, it's the same jokes.
They're gonna get new jokes about dwarves tossing plates and stuff. It's gonna be different. They sing a lot. I hope this movie's actually like secretly a musical. That would be awesome.
A musical?
Secretly, yeah, like a secret musical. Like, because if you actually read the books, so like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, I think at least 90% of it is singing. It's just like songs every 12 seconds. Yeah, it's like that old, it's the old school style fantasy novel where it's half of it's music. So it'd be awesome if Peter Jackson was like trolling everybody. At least trolling the studio, because the studio forced him to make this like the shortest of like all the Lord of the Rings books into a 3-movie epic instead of just being 1 movie, which it could have been without problem. Like, we'll make it into 3 movies. And so it'd be awesome if he's like, F you guys, I made a musical.
You know what? If Keith, we should have Keith pick first. Because
you're right.
If I pick something that's, something I want to watch and decent, I want to torture him fucking if he tortures me.
We like, did that one time.
I should have done it. Based on his pick.
Won't he just look at the Wikipedia page? Won't he just look at the Wikipedia page and say you watched it?
No, he watches it. I have faith.
Because he knows I'll hit him with every question.
Yeah.
To make sure that he watches it. And when he drinks, he tells the truth. He can't help it. He cannot help but tell the truth. He will tell you if you can watch it.
Yeah.
He'll say it. He will say it. It doesn't matter.
He tells the truth.
He will tell the truth. He will definitely tell
the one time that like he said he didn't cheat, but he could have cheated if he wanted to cheat.
Oh, that's when he was drunk. He said he basically cheated. He said he had the wiki page open.
Yeah, he can't hold it in. He like the truth comes spilling out. He cannot hold it in. If he's feeling something, he will tell you exactly what he's feeling. It doesn't matter.
I think that should be a new rule of the film picks.
Yes.
You go first, because if he picks something that I think is decent, then I won't torture him. But
it's like a nuclear deterrent.
Yeah.
If you pick this,
I'm picking strippers versus werewolves. Have to watch that when Michelle walks in the room and you're watching strippers versus werewolves.
I will pick shit that will be so pornographic. It's the closest thing to pornographic on Netflix that you cannot tell Michelle. that it's something else. Like, I have to say, that's what it is. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to find a whole bunch of movies that are so horrible like that we have on file. And then as soon as he gets ready to give us some girl peeing in the snow.
Bam. Girl peeing?
Bam. Porn star fighting zombies or something. You got to watch that.
Yep. It's go. Like, it'll be like negative reinforcement.
Yeah. We're going to put a stop to that nonsense. I don't want no more documentaries.
And it'll be two against one. It'll so he'll two get two one. Titty movies, and we'll have to watch one of his.
And he'll be like, I can't watch that.
I'm a married man. I can't watch that.
I'm a married man. And then when I'm invisible, wait a minute. This is what I mean by Keith has to tell the truth when he drinks. Well, I start talking about a sexy cosplayer. He's like, I can't do that. I'm a married man. All right, Keith, if you had any power, we had a question. If you can have any superpower, what would it be? I would take invisibility so I can go in the girls' bathroom. 10 minutes later, that was the question.
And you know it's the truth.
It is the truth. It's the absolute truth. Because he was drunk by then. I love Keith, but I hate him at the same time sometimes.
Any other movies you guys watch or TV that you want to plug? That
Scandal.
Scandal. Is that a TV show?
Yes. And I know on first when you look at it, you're thinking it's just a chick flick type of TV show.
I watched the first season. I liked it.
I loved it. I love the political stuff. It's a political thriller, basically.
What is like the network?
ABC.
It's on ABC, and it's she's basically, this character is basically the fixer. Like, she's the one that if you're powerful in the elite, you call her to fix things. You wake up in a room with the prostitute and you're the pastor of a major mega church. You call her. You call Pope and associates to come and fix it.
She's a real person. Well, not her. She's based on a real person.
Based on the cat, yeah. Based on a real person. She worked for the George Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
She's a press aide. And it's just the plot twists are just crazy. Nothing is the same. Like, the show, just in the first season, midway through, it just flipped. And you know, the characters that you look at characters and you think they're one way, and they just totally changed. They had a major storyline like maybe 6 episodes ago where you look at Olivia Pope and all the episodes prior to that, and you look at her totally different now after you've seen what she's done, you know, her and some of her team. And she's not always the good guy in the story. A lot of times she's the bad guy. But I still wind up rooting for her, even though she's the bad guy.
Well, her job is to be she has the job I want most in life, which is the apology. Well, no, she doesn't have that job, but it's close to it. I want to be the apology writer. Like, I want to be the person who gets to write all the speeches for like all the athletes and celebrities who like end up cheating on their wives or
scandal,
who go like, well, I am sorry I let you down. I let down my family. I let down the people who look up to me. Like, the same. I want to be the speech writer, which is basically like someone in who's like someone who works for her, because like her job is to make all these awful people end up coming out looking like roses or smelling like roses.
She's more than the writer.
Right. The writer works for her.
She makes things happen. Like, she changed like things that they don't want to say happen. Like, she'll make sure the police don't. You know, like they call them in. They don't investigate them at home. They call them in, and you know, she'll block that and make sure that they don't do that. Or certain tests that they run at a hospital. She does little things because she knows people. She basically knows, and everybody owes her a favor.
Yeah,
and she calls in these favors, and you know, stuff like that happens. This is not
I read a book about her, and I read some other books about people who do if not the exact same thing, but very similar things.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay Lohan, why, you know, like you say, why is Lindsay Lohan not in jail still? There are reasons for that. It's not just shit. You're just saying she's a celebrity and that's it, and that's what happened with the judge. No, there's a whole lot of things that go into making sure that she doesn't do the time that other people would do.
Because it's money. Because it gets money.
Because it's money. Yeah, exactly.
Like these people, like, it's fascinating. Like, the political intrigue stuff is amazing whenever you think about, like what goes on, like, behind the scenes.
Right.
Just minuscule stuff. And, like, and the thing is, it's what's awesome is that when you read, like detailed accounts of it, it's not conspiracy theory shit. It's, like, it's very blatant. Like, no one's out here tricking anybody. They're straight up going in there with, Like, they have paper trails too, which is what kills me. That so like this stuff can be found out because they actually go through official channels sometimes. So like you could see where the police were given a favor here or there to not have the press conference about this person, or like they won't release the blood alcohol content of a certain politician who ended up like running three red lights and killing a person.
Right.
Like they won't release their blood alcohol content, but you can then go find it later on. But by the time, because most of what the job is isn't even always about erasing everything. Sometimes it's just about delaying it long enough for no one to give a shit anymore. So, like, you can bring up that this person had, like, 12 DUIs, but since it didn't happen yesterday, like, no one is inclined to, like, have deep personal feels about it. So, it's a fascinating world. And, like, I haven't watched the show this season because time.
It's even better. It's even, I would say that this season is even better than the first season.
Do you like it more than you like Revenge?
Yes, because I have not gone back to watch. I know Barb keeps telling me I should watch Revenge, but it's just one of those things where I can wait to watch Revenge as opposed to Scandal. I have to watch it while I have to record it and then watch it as it comes on. That's how much I enjoy it. And I watched Nashville too, but I don't want to talk about it.
Wait. Nashville, like the about Mrs. Coach and
yes,
Heroes Girl.
Which is Mrs. Coach, Heroes Girl. I heard the show is awful.
Yeah, it is in a good way. It's like Dallas awful, and I did watch Dallas as a kid.
Like the new Dallas or the old Dallas?
No, the old Dallas. It's like old Dallas awful, and I still like it. I have no good reason for liking it. None. No good reason. It's all the cliche stuff. It's nothing new with this show. It's just that for whatever reason, the cast and all of it, I just find myself watching it anyway. The first couple of times I just said, nah, it's just for a joke. I'm just going to look at it. I'm not going to turn the channel. I'm just going to look at it. And then I found myself watching it the next week and then the next week. And then I'm ashamed of myself. Now I light a candle.
It's a guilty pleasure.
It's a very guilty pleasure. I feel like I have a vagina when I watch it, but that's fine.
You feel like Keith.
Yeah. I feel like Keith. I do. When he picks certain films. And I can't even blame it on a wife.
Yeah.
I'm divorced.
Do you tuck when you watch it?
No.
You guys are a problem.
No. I'm ashamed.
It looks like there's a lot of good shows, but I just don't watch a lot.
Arrow? You still watching Arrow?
No, I plan on catching up on Arrow if everything goes according to plan, which I hope it does.
Uh-oh.
The last week of December and the first week of January off.
Ah.
So that second week of in January is when I'll probably just like sit and catch up on Arrow. But the only ones I'm watching regularly are the me and Barb watch together, The Office, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. What else? American Horror Story and Walking Dead. Those are the only ones.
Yeah, you know somebody's gonna. Walking Dead, I swear, is it still? I didn't know it had to be so blatant that you can only have one
at a time. One at a time. You can have, yeah.
on the show.
One at a time. They kill one, bring in another one, kill one, bring in another.
Right. It's so odd. Like, they don't even try to hide how obvious it is that you could only have one black female, one black male on the show.
I can't believe they killed that one guy. The one guy that was the prisoner, because he...
He was black.
He had such a role that seemed like they were going to build upon, and they just killed him.
And you knew T-Dog was dead because he talked once.
Yeah, he talked too much this season. He had too many lines, they killed him.
Then was his name Oscar? They brought Oscar in?
The creepy guy? Yeah,
It's Oscar the black dude that died. And then now it's Tyrese.
No, was the black guy that died Oscar? I forgot his name. I forgot his name because I knew he was dead. Like I knew when that saw that Tyrese was coming in. I was when
Tyrese
like,
showed up, he was done.
Your like, time is when he said, "I'll go with you." I was like, "Yeah, you're dead. You are so dead, brother. You are so dead."
Has Michonne said more than two words the entire season?
She said four.
Okay, that's cool.
In the last one. You know what's getting tired? The only thing that it really irks me, though, is I'm getting tired of Michonne not saying anything. Like, when they're asking her valid questions that they kind of need to not die, like, information that I need to know.
She's not saying nothing.
Here's one. When she's talking to that what's-her-face, right? And she's all like, why are you doing this shit?
Andrea?
Yeah, she could go, well, the governor is torturing your friends. That's it. You just say that. You know?
That's all you had to say.
No.
Is this guy has kidnapped your group that you talked about, so you know she knows the names because they said it. The group that you have been with, they have kidnapped these people, and they are pretty much, they almost raped one of them. Like, do I have to say any more? That's all you have to say. Now, if Andrea still is an idiot, then whatever happens, happens. You know what? You fucked. You can stay with the governor and die, as far as I'm concerned. But if you don't tell her that information, like, there's no point to not telling her this. You came back just so you could get her out. So what is the purpose of not telling her what's going on? That was just the stupidest thing in the world for her to just sit there with that look on her face, which is a TV plot device to keep her there. Because then if she had any sense, of course, when she said that, of course, you would have Andrea go, let me get my shit. We're leaving. And then it would be no point of them going back and forth between the governor and, you know, and the whole shebang. But she had to be there to see that Daryl and Merle were captured or whatever. You had to have that. They used it to get to that plot device. But it just didn't. It just irked me so much when I'm like, Michonne, would you open your damn mouth and just tell her what happened? Instead of just looking at her like she's crazy. It just irks me. That's the only thing.
I just know Michonne doesn't talk. I haven't seen her talk.
She talks.
Sometimes. Mostly she kind of grunts and runs away.
She grunts and then she says something.
And she killed that kid, which was good.
Oh, yeah, of course. That made sense.
Fuck that zombie kid. Whatever.
Like, I would say to myself, you know this crazy fuck that you've been in love with is keeping his crazy zombie daughter in a cage, right? Like, shit you think would be helpful to know. Like, if I'm dating a chick that has a zombie baby in a cage, let me know. Don't sit there staring at me and not say nothing. I want to know.
Yeah, and she knew the governor captured the two of those people. She could have said something, Andrea.
She didn't know that. Yeah, she didn't know that was her. Andrea still didn't know that was her group.
Well, I think she could have.
She could have asked the question.
Thought that said, because they knew they came from the prison, right?
Andrea didn't want to know, but she didn't know that that was her group. That was part of her group in that prison. That was the whole thing. She didn't know about any of it. She didn't know where her group was. As far as she was concerned, they were gone. But just the whole point of her not just saying it. Once you found out when Michonne was with the group and the group basically told you what was up, that should have been something to you to just say. And she was in the room when they went through the whole shebang with that. It just didn't make any sense for her not to say what was going on. It made no sense to not say anything. about what was going on. They couldn't be that evil. They have babies and, you know, they're trying to take care of a baby. And it's mostly women in the group, and you don't see the women looking like they were attacked or held hostage. So that should tell, there's little key things that should tell you maybe the group is not bad. Like, they're not trying to cover up things, so you can kind of tell. Because they could have did anything to her when they had a trap, and they didn't. So, it just didn't make any sense. You make Michonne, like, super smart in certain things, and then you make her kind of be stupid in other things. And it's TV. Gotta have 13 episodes.
I like it.
I only watch it at work, so I don't actually see every episode, every second of every episode. I only see parts of it, and so walking on certain parts and they're hilarious.
How do you watch it at work?
In the lunchroom? They have DirecTV in the break room.
Oh, cool! At least you got that.
Yeah. So I watch some of these things 15 minutes at a time.
Huh.
Yeah,
that'll work.
Because other people will go on lunch or whatever because they have different schedules, so they'll go on lunch at different times, and so.
All right.
That was exciting.
You got any food you guys want to mention?
Spaghetti.
Daryl's favorite.
And hibachi rice.
How much hours of sleep did you get, Daryl?
I woke up at 9.
Go you.
Well, you went to bed at 5.
Four. No. Yeah, 4:30. It was about 4:30.
Wasn't it 5? I could have sworn I went to bed at 3:30 last night.
I don't know. I got delirious by the end. Like, there were parts, and I was so into the conversation with Jerry and Han, but there were parts where I straight up drifted. Like, I didn't notice if I had drifted out the total conversation or I just fell asleep for two minutes at a time because I was just so sleep deprived by then.
I had 3 hours of sleep.
I had beers in and I was just, I don't know how I stayed awake. I think the anger that Keith made me so angry that kept me from the adrenaline and kept me from passing out during the show.
You have to listen back to see how much snoring you can hear.
Yeah. Well, no one said anything.
He didn't snore.
So I must have only passed out maybe a minute or so, a couple of seconds.
Daryl was active in pretty much everything, although he's getting frustrated. He could talk a comic. He tried.
I tried. I so tried.
I don't know what happened.
I know what happened, and I'm going to make him listen.
I had questions for DC Noise. I had things to talk about, and it just didn't happen.
I'm going to send him a
six
copy
hours
of this show.
6 hours and a half.
He's got to listen to this. I want Keith to listen to this tomorrow. Like, he got. I'm going to put this in a file and send it to him tonight because I want him to hear himself tomorrow.
Yeah, I wonder if Jeremy Hahn will listen, like, and see how we were trying to convince Keith not to call him.
Well, we had good reason.
Yeah, we were like, Keith, you're too drunk. You will not be able to let him speak.
We had good reasons. There was a lot of good reasons for that. Like, we wanted him all. I would, you know, I love to talk to him, but I didn't. Not with drunk Keith.
Yeah.
You
didn't eat anything interesting, Bill, because you had Thanksgiving. You had to eat some. You didn't eat turkey, so you had to replace it with something, right?
What do we have on Thanksgiving? Tofurkey, I think, on Thanksgiving.
Tofurkey.
What is that?
It's tofu turkey.
It's tofu shaped like a turkey.
Oh, that's
it's like the old Sesame Street thing. You take two words and you just kind of smush them together.
Tofu turkey? What kind of compound are y'all living in over there?
The hippie one, man. How is it, Bill? Like, how does that work? Does it taste all right?
Tofurkey's good. I like it.
No, it's not. I don't believe anyone when they say that. When you crazy vegans say stuff like that, I don't believe you.
Bill's not a vegan.
What is he then? What are you doing over there, Bill? What kind of crazy hippie life are you living?
Bill,
you're tofu-ish? What are you doing? What are you?
He'll kill fish, but nothing else.
But he also eats butter, if I'm not mistaken.
What?
At least his son does, so he's not a vegan.
I'm not a vegan.
Vegans don't even eat butter?
No, dude. Vegans don't eat anything that have anything to do with animals at all. So, no butter.
Bill hates the fish.
No.
He hates Aquaman. I like killing. That's like the worst comic for him. And Submariner, anything that's underwater, he wants to eat.
I believe in the killing of all those things.
Oh.
I think Daryl would eat people if it came down to it.
If there's nothing else left.
Stolen Green.
If there's nothing else left, then hey, gotta go.
That'll be it.
I want a hamburger. I still want a hamburger in the apocalypse.
I like Savage Chuck's comment on the picture you posted of you and Keith. He's like, they ate Mike.
It did look like we ate Mike.
You guys are sitting there with your stomachs. They ate Mike.
That's going to be in Daryl's post-apocalyptic movie. The next day, he'll be gnawing on like an arm.
We'll be sitting there like, and the scientist guy will be like, there's no more animals alive. There's no more food left. And then you see me look up, you see me look at the scientist, and then it fades to black, and then the next thing you know, I'm eating a hamburger.
Yeah, spaghetti sauce, you know.
And there's no more scientists.
The meatballs, and where'd the meatballs come from?
Yeah, and I'm just sitting there. Somebody had to go.
So those aren't meatballs.
Those aren't.
No, they are meatballs. It's not beef.
Damn right. There's my
lamb fries. He ate some lamb fries.
Dang all right. That's crazy.
Rocky Mountain oysters.
And Keith is only a non-meat eater as long as it depends on how close his wife is to
him. That's what room she's in.
She's another state away. Give me that steak.
Pile on those Twinkies.
You know what? Put the mayonnaise on it. I don't care no more. Put the mayonnaise on it.
I have six fish fillets. Who eats six fish fillets? Jesus.
Michelle, come. Put it away. Give me a salad.
Nobody eats fish fillets. I can't believe anyone eats those.
He doesn't even like mayonnaise.
He ate six fish fillets.
Is it that bad? He just shouldn't be a vegetarian, whether she's there or not. Like, he clearly hates it.
Have you seen Michelle's arms? How athletic she is?
No,
you
going to
tell
understand.
Her? You going to eat?
You're going to tell her.
Go ahead and eat steak if you want to.
I'm not going to tell her. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Well, doesn't he know? He knows one of those martial arts.
He don't know the martial Amazon.
He knows how to sweat.
He don't know how to fight an Amazon. Michelle can run, jump, all that. He can't get away.
That's true.
He can't get away. She's in shape.
He just knows how to lay on top of sweaty men.
And sit on his stomach.
That's a good one.
He likes to be in the front, though, not in the back.
Yeah. That's
and I talked to him. Michelle said on the phone, yeah, for fun. She for a Saturday, she felt like going for a 5K for fun.
For fun? It's like spur of the moment 5K? Like, she's like,
yeah, for fun. Just for fun.
5K.
Yeah. No, that's okay.
Does Keith join? Did he join her? Or does he just
held her bag while she did the 5K? I think he had beer.
Is he in the support car? He's just driving behind, making sure.
Yeah, he's supportive. He'd be with her, but he wait for her when she's done.
That's when he reads comics.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works. And then they drink beer when it's all done, and they go drinking.
He had a big list of beer on Facebook. I think he drank it all.
And Keith, I swear to God, you complained that you had no money to buy a phone. Your phone can't even see the screen anymore because the phone has faded. You had $100.
He won Employee of the Month. He had an extra $100.
$100 worth of beer and wine he bought. And now he still don't have no phone. Still don't have no working phone.
What carrier is he on? Do you know?
Verizon.
He's on Verizon?
Yes.
And he doesn't have a smartphone, right?
He doesn't even have a working phone anymore.
Hold on, let's see this.
The phone is the screen has faded away. The flip phone he opens it up, he can't see anything.
See, Daryl, you come on the show and you judge him.
I told him what I was going to do when I came on this show. I said, specifically, I'm going to get up in the morning to come on here to judge you, Drunk Keith.
We can get him a phone for, like, I don't know, not too much, $20, somewhere around there.
Kickstarter?
I said that to him. I talked to him. He said, what should I do with the phone? I said, you could get a cheaper phone. You get the contract, get the cheaper phone.
You can either get an, or if he doesn't want to get a new contract, if he wants to keep his regular contract, you know, you can go on to the eBays and get like a new phone that works on Verizon. It works.
And just attach it to the number.
It's like $30-$40. He doesn't have a smartphone.
I said that in the conversation.
Oh.
And that turned into, I'm just going to drink. I'm going to buy a whole bunch of alcohol. Because he don't listen to me at all. He asked me my opinion and then didn't even. I felt like he was my wife for a minute. He asked me just so he could just ignore it and go do something else.
Just like he said, I'm going to send this email to Jeremy Hahn right now. I want you to edit it for
me. What should I say?
What should I say? And then he reads it, and then he says, I just sent it.
I already sent it. He said, I already sent it.
Weren't we supposed to help you fill that out? I already sent it. I hit the send button.
Drunk Keith. You know what? Drunk Keith is my ex-wife. That's why I love and hate him at the same time. I just had a revelation.
He can get a smartphone for $40.
And yesterday we learned he was in a James Caan movie.
Yes.
Whoa.
Like, what the fuck?
What? This was after he was Jesus, right?
Yeah, this was after he was Jesus.
This is the post-Jesus phase of his career. Good to know.
This was after he was an anarchist. He was a teenage anarchist drinking beer in Germany.
He was in a movie called Gardens of Stone.
Right.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, he was in that movie. Keith Knudsen. He's
an extra in that movie. He throws things out there like willy-nilly, like it's everyday things. Like that. Like that's what he does.
Must have been saving that one.
Yeah.
He watched the guy shoot himself to death.
Yeah.
Well, he has so many stories that he can't give them all at once. They just coming out.
I think he's a Highlander. I think somewhere along the line he's a Highlander. I think he's been alive longer than
he wants to live forever.
I think he goes into a deep sleep every now and then, and then he wakes back up, and then he continues his journey through life.
You hear something from Keith, and it just doesn't make any sense that, like, in the timeline of his life, you're like, whoa, wait, when did this happen?
When did that happen? And I was Jesus. What? When did that happen? And I was in a restaurant. I worked in a restaurant, so a guy.
I was a sous chef.
What?
What?
I think it's like he was a sous chef for years. It wasn't like he did it for months.
I'm telling you. That's why when you talk to Keith, it is so much fun to talk to Keith because you don't know what
he's going to say
out of that conversation. You never know what is going to come out of a conversation with Keith. It's always interesting to talk to Keith, no matter what.
The only thing you can guarantee is that he'll say, dang.
Dang.
That, yes. He will say dang through somewhere throughout that.
And the drunker he gets, he might say, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and he will pass
that. And then the drunker he gets, he said, fuck yes, fuck that.
And he will pass gas somewhere in that conversation. He will pass.
No,
gas.
That's the only time he talks comics is when he's passing gas. No, when he's with us. In the bar, he's like, "What about Supergirl?"
When he's with us, he will pass gas. It's when he's with us. It's when he's with us, he will do it. There's no way around it. He will do it.
That was exciting.
All right.
Yeah.
That was the judging Keith part of the show.
Exactly. New regular feature.
Yeah, Geek Crunch.
We would do the making fun of Daryl portion of the episode, but we can't.
I'm here actually, for that. Yeah, you have to save here. It for the next.
The next one, yeah. So.
We'll talk. Weeks. Can you believe what he said on the last show?
He's a cannibal.
Yeah, he'll eat you.
He'll eat a scientist.
What is it with that spaghetti?
He gets his order to his room late at night. Can't even make his own spaghetti.
All righty then. This
Hooray.
Has been DC Noise episode.
No, it hasn't.
It's been Geek Brunch episode.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening? There's a. Episode 172.
No, it wasn't.
How many episodes? Give me a break.
Episode 5. Or.
I'm going to give you a stern talking to.
I don't even know anymore. You confused me, Daryl.
I was fucking
get lost.
It talked about DC Comics.
Yeah.
That should be unconfusing. If you talk about DC Comics, then clearly you're on Geek Brunch because you're not doing it on DC Noise.
Well, that's what I'm used to. The comics that he never got a chance to talk to, I hear him talk about it on this show.
Yeah. But Daryl didn't get to even talk one comic.
I read hundreds all week. 2 weeks of this I've been reading. And just.
I think the only one that we talked about, some Green Lantern because Chris Ivey tricked Keith into talking about spitting beer and it turned into a Green Lantern conversation.
Oh, Chris smart Ivey move by
is
him.
Is an evil genius. Because I even though I saw what he did, I couldn't believe he did it. And it worked.
Mm-hmm. And it worked on Keith.
He's like a savant.
Yeah. And I think
he understands.
Justice League number 14. And you were trying to talk Batwing, but he kept shutting down Juan. And
even though we had the
Castro on the show,
we had one of the people that works on Batwing. We couldn't even talk about it.
Yeah. Geek Brunch episode 172. You can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. We have a Facebook page, so you could click on like Geek Brunch Podcast. And let's see, do underscore what?
Mike Myers Brunch.
The voice 123 on Twitter. And Mike, Micah, and Bill, and Daryl at comicbooknoise.com. And we have a forum for geeks if you want to stop by there.
Oh, yeah.
The Geek Brunch page. I think you finally have admin now, Bill.
Oh, I finally took that Daryl guy off?
Yeah, no, Daryl's still there. He can admin and edit anything, I guess. He just doesn't know how to edit it, so he'll never. All right. Well, you guys have a good weekend. Have a good week. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Is that going to be Christmas week or no?
No. Yes, absolutely.
See you on the 25th.
I might not be able to make that.
Oh, 23rd.
Are you going to travel?
Oh, you're leaving town, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm traveling.
That's right, because you're going to take off work.
I might be able to Skype in from a phone, but I don't know how that's going to work.
It's going to sound awesome.
Actually, Skype is not, as long as you have a real Wi-Fi and not the Robert Atkins Wi-Fi, it should work fine.
I've never seen Robert Atkins. I would be cussing my company out, saying, "What the hell?"
He kept going to people's houses to take their Wi-Fi because.
Yeah, what he did last night was great. He did the police, he simulated like he was getting arrested because he was stealing Wi-Fi. Sirens playing.
He's like, "I gotta go." I gotta go.
Robert's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll see you guys. Have a good one. I'll get this episode out probably today because this week's going to be a nightmare at work.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right.
I'm putting the mic hours at work this week.
I got to really pick them up if I want to do what I want to do.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. May the force be with me.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Yeah.